accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. Just finished filling her up, and wow, that's a lot of cabbage.
$3.20 a gallon. I'm like, God, this is ridiculous.
The price sure is high. How much of that is landing in the pockets of the oil industry? A lot, apparently. ConocoPhillips says its profits for the first 3 months of this year are up 13%.
They're making money hand over fist, and the most likely fallout for the oil industry now in Washington is going to be more bad publicity in the form of hearings and investigations.
That's CBS's Alexis Christophorus. But over at the American Petroleum Institute, Rayola Dewar says, wait a minute, we're not the bad guy here.
We are tied to an international marketplace that oil companies do not determine the price of crude oil. That's set out by all of the buyers and all of the sellers around the world.
Back at the pump.
This is ridiculous. I don't know when or how they're going to do it, but they have to reduce the gas.
Reducing spending is the president's goal. $94 billion is how much he wants going to Iraq and Katrina relief. But CBS's Bob Foss says despite the threats from the president, the Senate has some other ideas.
By a lopsided majority, the Senate rejected an effort to trim all the extraneous spending out of the bill to fund the Iraq war, delivering a pretty clear message. The president's veto threat isn't going to deter them in an election year. Extra measures include aid to farmers and fisheries and relocating a rail line in Mississippi. The president asked for $94 billion to fund the war and pay for Katrina relief. The Senate bill is up to $106 billion with lots more amendments still pending.
A lot of notable court appearances today. First to Washington, where a White House big shot was answering questions.
It's Karl Rove's fifth grand jury appearance, his first time in front of the panel since last October. There's no indication that Rove faces imminent indictment in the case. It's centers on the outing of CIA operative Valerie Plame not long after her husband, Joseph Wilson, criticized the administration's Iraq war policy.
That's CBS's Peter Mayer, CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen's in Alexandria, Virginia, where the jury spent a third day deliberating the fate of 9/11 conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui. They finished without a verdict.
Even though the verdict form is long and complicated, I think we've now reached the point where the longer the jury is out, the more concerned prosecutors will become. This is a confessed al-Qaeda conspirator, remember, who essentially dared the jury to recommend a death sentence. And yet, 16 hours or more into deliberations, it still hasn't come.
In Houston, the founder and former CEO of Enron took the hot seat. Ken Lay said he didn't know the company was circling the drain when he cashed out millions in stock. I won't bore you with all the math and stuff, but I will tell you this. Wall Street was buzzing today. The Dow hit a six-year high, boosted by strong showings from Anheuser-Busch and GE, a few other companies, too. The Dow gained more than 71 points. Pretty good at the NASDAQ, too. It rose about 3 points. Oil, that's a different story. A barrel cost 95 cents more today, $71.93. This is CBS News.
For a limited time, seeing red is taking on a whole new meaning. Because at CompUSA's Red Tag Clearance event, every time you see a red tag, you know you're about to save big. On laptops and desktops, monitors, LCD and plasma TVs, digital cameras, camcorders, and more. Hurry in before May 6th and get unbelievable red tag savings, up to 70% store-wide. It's the Red Tag Clearance event at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. While supplies last, products vary by store, no rain checks, see store for details.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds I get my credit report and credit score free.
I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment and triple advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
Quickly, let's clear something up here. Price of oil fell 93 cents a barrel today. $71.93 is where it is. Got questions you may be too embarrassed to ask out loud? You could just do this if you're in San Francisco.
22-year-old Michelle can now access a new sexual health information and referral service without anyone knowing.
A1 if your condom broke, B2 if you think you're pregnant, C3 to find out about STDs.
It's called Sex Info, developed because of the rising rate of gonorrhea and chlamydia among young African Americans in San Francisco.
So they can text, get information, and delete it, and no one has to know that they're getting this information.
Research finds that cell phones are used by almost two-thirds of young adults to text message. Larry Cerrone, CBS News, San Francisco.
The big boss isn't around here today. That's because he's at a convention in Las Vegas. And, you know, he's not alone. Vegas came in tops as convention capital of the U.S. again this year, beating out Orlando and Chicago. Chris Mavridis, CBS News.
Book your next flight or vacation package on Priceline, and you could win one of five ultimate upgrades. A luxurious trip for you and your friends in your own private jet provided by One Sky Network, plus limo service and $5,000 in cash. Hurry, it's only for a limited time and only on Priceline. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends May 8th. For full details, visit Priceline.com.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitments and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com. Sign up today, and your first month is free.
Peter B. Collins. Ow! I guess that's me. I guess this is where we start the Peter B. Collins show. I think we could tone down the chorus just a little bit. I mean, do they have to shout like that? Welcome to the Peter B. Collins show today. 3 hours of live talk radio, unscripted, unrehearsed. We've got an outline, but we do not know what's going to happen over the next 3 hours, and you can contribute to that uncertainty. We have an amazing lineup of guests. First, we're going to help your kid find a job. Then we're going to talk with Taylor Lincoln from Public Citizen, because the ultra-rich in this country are closing ranks to keep the estate tax, or as they prefer it, the death tax, from coming back. Also on today's show, in our second hour, we're going to take a closer look at the conviction the government won in Lodi yesterday. Actually, the court was Sacramento, but the nexus of the case is Lodi, California, where Hamid Hayat faces a 30 or 39-year sentence for allegedly training in an al-Qaeda camp. Only the evidence is flimsy, and a paid FBI informant was used to win this conviction. Also on today's show, in the second half of our second hour, Chelly Pingree, who is the head of U.S. Common Cause, will join us. She is a guest on The Daily Show tonight with Jon Stewart. And we'll also talk about the watered-down version of House ethics reform that I believe was passed out of the Congress, the lower house, today. And our weekly visit from the investigative reporter from RawStory.com, Larissa Alexandrovna, joins us in our final hour to kick things off. And she's got interesting news about Ahmed Chalabi. He was an agitator in Iraq, and Chalabi is back. We'll also get the very latest on Karl Rove's testimony, his fifth trip to the grand jury today. Your calls and comments are welcome at any moment. You can join us on the Central Coast. My line is 831-899-5792. And you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. You can get full information on our live stream, our archive programs, and a fabulous picture of your humble host at peterbcollins.com. Feel free to send me an email there, too, peter at peterbcollins.com. And we want to once again welcome our new listeners in Phoenix, Arizona, tuned in to the all-new KPHX 1480. Thank you for checking us out, and you can participate by email or just call in during our live feed in the afternoons here on the West Coast from 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. As promised, our first guest is going to help you and your child figure out their future. Let's get inspired about the American dream.
Only in America can a guy from anywhere go to sleep upon
Oh, I'm sorry. The presidency's only open to people named Clinton and Bush these days. But the rest of that song still holds some promise for us. There's a new book out, What Color Is Your Parachute for Teens? And its co-author, Carol Kristen, joins us. Hello, Carol.
Hi, Peter. I'm delighted to be on your show.
Well, it's great to talk with you again. And this is a very well-timed publication because right now there are a lot of parents trying to figure out if they can call Uncle Ted or Uncle Fred or Aunt Bessie and get a gig for their son or daughter to get them through the summer and maybe make a little money. And, of course, there are waves of people who will be graduated from institutions of higher learning over the next month or 6 weeks, and they'll be hitting the job market, too. So tell me what the impetus was for this teen edition of What Color Is Your Parachute?
Well, actually, the main impetus was from the publisher, who called me up and said, would you like to write an edition of this for teens? And because I've worked with young people since I was a young people, my answer was just a real fast yes.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular generation...
Find the parameters of job search in this country. Getting away from the resume and mailing it to hundreds of people who you had no contact with, and really kind of working more from within to find the job that is really perfect for you. Talk a little bit about the parachute paradigm, Carol.
Okay. First, I wanted to say that when I first attended a workshop with Richard Bowles, he very humbly stated that he was out to revolutionize the job search process in America. And I think he's contributed to that significantly. There's some things about resumes that just like Freddy Krueger refuse to die. But the idea is that there's a sociological process to finding work. Even with the big monster boards and stuff, a job hunt happens, job hiring happens, people to people. And so he wrote about and tried to teach people about this is the sort of natural way. That most, it's like between 75 and 80% of all jobs aren't listed anywhere. How do you find them? You get in touch with people.
Well, and your new edition starts off, for me, in the perfect place, which is, first of all, to try to figure out what it is you love to do. And, Carol, you and I have spoken on many occasions, and I continue to be thrilled that I've been able to structure my life and pay the bills over the years and still do what I really love to do. This is it, and I think people who listen to the program can tell that this is my passion. This is what I live for. It's also my therapy, particularly in these political times, where if I didn't have a radio show, I'd probably be seeing a counselor four or five times a week.
Well, and you are just a living proof of how to do it right, because that's where we have to start, is our interest. I don't know many people who can be a success at something they hate or even don't like, mildly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I interviewed about 500 people, young people from the ages of 15 to 28, and those who are working or who had been working in the job market for a while, a majority of them made some comment about the fact that you have to like what you do because you spend so much time at it.
And in the book, What Color Is Your Parachute for Teens?, it is written, I think, for a teenage reader because there are a lot of interesting little, you know, feature boxes and quizzes and sidebar stories that make it easier to read and also engage the reader in a kind of dialogue. And right here on page 10 is a little quick quiz, how to find what you love to do, naming your interests. And I'll just blurt out the questions. When you've got free time, what do you like to do? What's your favorite subject in school? When you're in the magazine section of your school library or a bookstore, what type of magazine will you pick up and read first? Fill in the blank. When I'm blank, I lose track of time and don't want anyone or anything to disturb me. And we'll leave out sexual activities from that. And if someone asked you what your favorite interests are, what would you say? So this is a great place to start, and you're getting the reader to focus on his or her inner interests and trying to propel them forward into a job search that is based on that.
Absolutely. One of the things that happens when a young person says, well, I'm interested, let's say, in skateboarding, and you say, okay, let's look at all the different fields that skateboarding touches, because we can say, okay, there's magazines and there's reporters writing about skateboarding, there's photographers, there are, of course, the actual people who do skateboarding and go out for extreme sports. There's teaching skateboarding at a summer program. There's also designing skateboards. There's designing skateboarding clothing. There's promoting skateboarding events. And so maybe the young person who is interested in skateboarding will never, ever actually go into that for work. But to let them explore the process of finding work based on something they enjoy, this is something that opens up ideas rather than narrowing it down. We want the teenage years to be an opening of ideas and options.
And I would just add one item to your skateboard list, and that is somebody has to be Tony Hawk's agent or manager.
Absolutely.
And to my knowledge, he's making the most off skateboarding of anybody in America today. Carol, we're going to take a break and continue. If you have a question about your son or daughter's job search, Carol Kristen's with us for another 15 minutes. Get on the line right now, 831-899-5792 from the Central Coast, or call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 1-888-579-2540. It's a powerful book out in paperback, What Color is Your Parachute for Teens? Co-author Carol Kristen is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7. Every day, have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue.
MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today.
173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show from the left coast and oozing eastward. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and
Pacific Grove.
We are live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, and Humboldt County. And we're live on that World Wide Web thing, too. We stream the program. Just go to peterbcollins.com. There's a link for you there. Hey, and speaking of new jobs, Tony Snow, the former Fox News radio and TV commentator, has a new gig as White House press secretary. We'll find out if he used what color is his parachute, or your parachute, tomorrow in our second hour when we talk with David Brock from Media Matters for America. Right now we're looking for a job for your kid this summer. What Color Is Your Parachute for Teens is out in soft cover. And co-author Carol Kristen is with us on the program this afternoon. Carol, I want to turn next to the slick graphics that are on page 16, 17, and 18. And these are little flowcharts that help somebody try to evaluate what their interests, what their skills are that they can transfer to the workplace. And, again, aimed at young people who are more comfortable with computer graphics and that sort of thing. I think you've done a great job of laying this out. Why don't we just pick one line here and take it down from top to bottom. Do you have a favorite? Skills with objects, skills with materials, skills with the body?
Let's look at skills with the body.
Okay.
Okay, and these are transferable skills. And the neat thing about transferable skills is young people, unfortunately, often say, oh, I don't have any skills. Well, they've usually got about 500. They just really haven't looked at them in terms of the things I do. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the body, I could, the first one is using my hands, including signing, having a great deal of finger dexterity. This could be with a keyboard or with playing the flute,
mm-hmm.
Using my eyes and hands in coordination. Of course, driving is one of those things. Motor physical coordination with my whole body, or having agility, speed, strength, or stamina, which any athlete has to have, but a great many occupations do too.
Yeah. And then you talk about skills with information, skills with people. Those are critical subsets as people, try to evaluate what their interests are and where they might go. Now, let's talk a little bit about the stages of the development of one's working career. And as teenagers, people don't have experience. That's often a drawback. So they have to go to a first job, an entry-level job. And often students are offered internships. Do you think that those are a good route to employment, or often are they just not necessarily a time waster, but just a holding pattern through the summer?
It depends on how the internship has been structured. It depends on where it's happening, and it depends on the student themselves. Personally, I wouldn't encourage a person to take an internship without having an outline of what are the skills I'm going to be learning, who's going to be my supervisor, and when do I show up, what new processes or machines or techniques am I supposed to be learning. In other words, if you leave it diffuse, no, the person's just kind of free labor. Now, in and of itself, maybe that's not so bad, but if you focus it and you say there are these three things which I want to learn before I leave here, who can help me learn those? I think everybody's going to be happier with the experience and the outcome.
And that suggests another issue, which is that a first-time employee or someone who's just venturing out into the job market doesn't have the leverage, or at least they feel they don't, and they often don't bargain or negotiate and say, well, I will do this if you will do that.
Yes.
a lot of people don't understand that when an employer says, oh, we want you, at that point everything is negotiable. And certainly young people often forget to say, oh, you know, I'm committed to my sister's wedding, or they don't say, my parents are celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary, and they don't say, I need this time off, and I know, I come to you knowing that, and they don't bargain for it. So they just try to slip it in, sometimes by not showing up, or sometimes sort of pulling it on the employer right before they go. Young people often don't understand that, you know, if you lay this stuff out, and you let someone say, oh, yeah, we can work that in, that that's going to be far better. On-the-job relations are going to come out of that.
Right. And my stepson's a junior in college now. First year, he took a job just to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Second year, he took an internship that, like you just described, really didn't match his needs. And I think he came away feeling they had just used him for scientific labor.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, he has a paying job at a Silicon Valley company. So he's moving on up the ladder, but I can relate to people who are at those earlier rungs just trying to figure it all out.
Yes, and the learning curve, I mean, we don't always do everything perfectly the first time. There is a great learning curve in terms of effective and efficient job hunting. But since the average, the Department of Labor says, is we'll change jobs 10 times, we'll get better at it as we go along.
Now, Carol, kids today, and I hated that phrase when I was a kid in those days, they're very much more comfortable with the web, the internet, email, and all that sort of communication gear. Can you get a job simply through email, or do you have to crawl out of your little web and actually go meet somebody?
Much job hunting and effective job hunting is still done people to people. If you have extreme technical skills, yes, you can often throw your resume onto one of those search while you sleep job boards and it'll happen. But particularly young people who do not have well-rounded resumes. Remember, the resume is a difficult job technique to even for adults to use. It only results in a job about 7% of the time when that's the only technique that people are using.
Mm-hmm.
So only 7 out of 100 people find that effective. So young people who are at a disadvantage, remember, there's not only global competition for entry-level jobs. There's intergenerational competition. This new generation is in competition with people of their grandparents' age for entry-level work. So the more that you get to know the employers in your area and you go and you visit them, you do site visits and you maybe through your school, through the friends of parents, through a booster club, through another club you belong to, you get to know adults who are doing a certain job and you sort of collect them as part of your network.
Yeah, Carol, I'm sorry, yeah. We're out of time here, but I do want to recommend the book, What Color Is Your Parachute for Teens? We've been talking with co-author Carol Kristen. And be sure you get to the back of the book, The Top 10 Mistakes Job Hunters Make. Number one, acting as if someone owes you a job. That's worth the price of the book itself. Thank you, Carol. Nice to talk with you again. Coming up next, Taylor Lincoln talks about the rich and the estate tax right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In life and in business, having the right tools, the right technology, helps get work done easier, faster, and better.
And no one is better equipped to provide that technology than Sharp.
A full line of multifunctional products with open systems architecture that do much more than copy, print, fax, and scan.
Sharp, OSA-enabled MFPs.
Gives you a window into your business applications.
So you can access what you need, when you need it. Right from the LCD panel.
Sharp MFPs. High-quality network printing in both black and white and color from one machine.
Even industry-leading security features to protect confidential documents.
Sharp MFPs. Streamlined workflow, maximized ROI, low total cost of ownership.
Tri-County Business Systems. Solutions that connect with you since 1981. Located in Salinas at South Main and Acacia Streets. Call 1-800-339-6216. That's 1-800-339-6216.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Tom Hartman,
chairman of Citicorp, Sanford Weill. He says, I think companies are realizing that we all have to be salesmen for America and not just sit back and rely on the government. I would point out to Mr. Weill, chairman of Citigroup, that his company is sending American jobs to other countries.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
Isn't this a great thing? We can use Indian labor for white-collar jobs while we're using Chinese labor for blue-collar jobs. I'm sorry, this just creeps me out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Oh, and that's where I do this. The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. There are a couple of great public interest groups fighting for average Americans in Washington, D.C. One of them is Common Cause, and Shelley Pingree will be with us about an hour from now. She'll be on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart tonight, and she's probably really nervous as they recorded the package. You never know what The Daily Show will do to you in post-production. Another great advocacy group in Washington is Public Citizen, and Taylor Lincoln joins us from that group this afternoon. Hello, Taylor.
Hello. Good to be with you.
Nice to talk with you, sir.
You too.
The issue that you're working on, among others at the moment, in collaboration with the group United for a Fair Economy, Chuck Collins has been on our program many times in the past, and it's interesting that United for a Fair Economy includes Bill Gates Sr.
That's correct.
And for your organizations to be fighting to really preserve a fair estate tax system in this country, given Mr. Gates' son's great fortune, I think speaks volumes about the organization and about your commitment to fairness for all Americans.
Well, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about where we are with the estate tax, and we will avoid calling it the death tax because that, of course, is the Republican talking point buzzword that has been very effective in kind of reframing discussion of this tax as if, repealing it protects all of us.
Right. Well, you hit on a bunch of points there. Right now it's 2006. Congress, I guess I'll start from the top. Congress in 2001 passed legislation to modify the law. Mm-hmm. And at that point, most people were of a belief that the exemption amount, the tax-free amount that you could pass on to your heirs,
right,
was too low. It was about $600,000, and $600,000 wasn't what it used to be, and people who really rightfully didn't feel wealthy were getting stung with tax bills of, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
There was sentiment in Congress to raise the exemption level. The question was how high and how far to go. And what they ended up doing was passing legislation that raised it gradually, $2 million in 2006, up to $3.5 million in 2009. But here's the kicker, complete repeal in 2010.
Right.
It's a big issue with conservative Republicans. They want to get rid of it for a number of populist reasons, and then also, I think, a couple of very pragmatic reasons. And they would have gotten rid of it completely in 2001, but even then, when we were in a time when we had surpluses as long as far as the eye could see,
right,
it just cost too much.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, those Bush tax cuts were stacked with all these gimmicks to trick the CBO or whoever scores the price of these things,
mm-hmm,
you know, where they stopped them on certain dates and so forth because they wanted the tax cuts, but they couldn't afford them permanently, so they, you know, they put an end to them and then hoped to come back, fight another day, and get the tax cuts made permanent.
Right.
And since then, of course, the deficit, you know, a surplus has turned into deficits as far as the eye can see. You might think they would give up and say, you know, we really can't afford to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what they're doing. And Senator Frist has said that he's going to bring it to the floor of the Senate to vote on full repeal of the estate tax in early May. There's some rumors that this might be delayed a little bit. And they need 60 votes to get full repeal because they need the votes to overcome the same budget rules that they couldn't beat in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have a vote. Now, chances are they're not going to get it, but that's where the issue is right now.
And, Taylor, do you have an idea of what, as the exemption increases, what is the hit to the U.S. Treasury on down the line until we hit repeal in 2010?
Right. If you take a number that the government's generated, I think it's the CBO or one of the congressional committees, they come up with figures for what it would cost between now and 2015. And if you take the 2015 number, which is a full, you know, a full year in which we're in repeal, because we don't start repeal until it wouldn't set until 2011, take that number, multiply it across 10 years, and then add on the extra interest on the debt that we'd incur,
right,
it's about $1 trillion for the first decade.
Really?
Yep.
So we're talking about $1 trillion. This is not chump
not
change.
Not beanbag. Now, the other side likes to say this thing raises 1%. Of the, you know, budget. It's almost like a nuisance. They even come out and said it costs the IRS as much money to collect the money as it does as they collect.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is they collect $20 billion a year and the entire budget of the IRS is $10 billion a year. They have said it, though.
Yeah.
They're shameless in what they say.
Well, you know, when it helps them, they use that fuzzy math.
Well, they do use that fuzzy math. And this is a real interesting issue. I think that you set it out well at the beginning when you pointed out how much success they've had with the death tax,
mm-hmm,
in that they've got a big head start on some very, I just can't quite think of the word, but they've got a big head start on some kind of red meat populist buzz terms. Death tax, they call it a double tax because you pay it when you make the money and now the government's going to say you have to pay it again.
Right.
A tax on hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be given credit if you can forgive dishonesty in their techniques. I don't think you should lie to win a policy debate, but they have to be given credit for their effectiveness in that this is a tax that in 2006 will affect about 0.25% of all people who die. It'll affect their heirs, you know, they're passing their assets to their heirs. 0.25%, about 1 out of every 370 people. And yet they've made it into a populist issue. They have made this be kind of the cause of the day. And you have to give them credit for doing that. But the thing is, once you kind of peel back the curtain a little bit and see what's there, you see nothing but sort of hollow arguments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first is the 1/4, the 1%. And they're
mm-hmm
running ads to try to scare everybody into thinking you're going to lose your farm.
But Taylor,
yeah.
Taylor, we're 6 minutes into this conversation, and you haven't mentioned the threat to family farms
from the death tax. Yeah. I did a TV show today, and the guy just kept saying family farms, and I didn't get a chance to use the line that I wanted to.
Go ahead.
The New York Times, 2001, did a story
yep
on the estate tax, and
mm-hmm
they asked the American Farm Bureau, which supports repeal of the estate tax, for a list of all the family farms that had to be sold because of the estate tax.
Right.
The list stopped at zero.
If I'm not mistaken, it was Times reporter David K. Johnston
yes
who did that study. And he is fabulous on
yes
these issues. He really
he's
understands the numbers very well.
So, you know, the family farm argument. Here's another one. Small businesses, Mm-hmm. That's the other big one. It's breaking up small businesses. They have a hard time coming up with examples.
Yeah.
But let me tell you this one point. Sure. The NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Businesses, mm-hmm. surveyed their members, not in 2001, but in 2004. And they said, rank your problems 1 to 75.
Yeah.
Estate tax came in 36. Came in before managing my time. That's how important it is to real small businesses. It's not very important.
Yeah. Now, as we look at the big picture,
yeah.
and as you and others advocate for fairness, not just a soak the rich approach, not
right, right.
socialism, but fairness in this debate, how do we deal with the fact that the ultra wealthy among us have many devices available to them to avoid the estate tax by using trusts, by handing out money early on, by using corporate entities for shelters, by using the perpetual trust that is now available in the state of Alaska so that these things survive individuals and corporations? Aren't there a myriad of resources available to people with sharp accountants and the ability to move their money offshore to avoid this tax entirely, even if it is framed at a fair rate?
There may be. That also is one of the myths that the other side has helped perpetuate,
mm-hmm.
because they've tried to make it seem like they've even invoked the name of Bill Gates, which is ironic because the Gateses support the estate tax, is saying Bill Gates and choose somebody else, Teddy Kennedy, they're not going to pay the estate tax because they're so rich, the really rich people don't pay any taxes. Well, it turns out when you look at the charts of where the estate tax comes in, I believe the midpoint is more than half of it comes in from the few estates that are over $10 million in assets,
mm-hmm.
or even the few estates that are over $20 million in assets. So the bottom line is, as the law stands right now, very wealthy people pay the bulk of the estate tax. It's not people that make that have $2 or $3 or $4 million in assets that are being used as the pawns to try to push for repeal.
Right.
Despite the perception that the very wealthy people can get out of taxes, the fact of the matter is, the reality is right now they are not getting out of the taxes. And if somebody from the Mars family passes away with $30 billion in assets,
yeah.
they're going to owe a lot of estate taxes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you get to two fundamental questions, I think, maybe more than that. But one is, is this a good thing for society? Why might it be a good thing for society? And there's two good answers to that, I think. One is the original people that came up with the idea for the estate tax, including Teddy Roosevelt, felt that concentration of wealth was destructive to society.
Mm-hmm.
Either buy that or you don't. I do. And then the second thing is, maybe it's not the most popular tax in the world, or maybe it's just about as unpopular as all the rest of them. But the thing's going to raise $20 trillion between 2012 and 2021. And the question is, if you don't like it, what's your alternative?
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to me the Mars family has had a nice ride, and their contribution might be a less painful way for us to get that tax money to pay for the things that we all have to pay for than other taxes, like raising wages on hourly work.
Well, and the death of wealthy Americans is more certain than ever getting a payback from that Iraqi oil that those damn Iraqis are sitting on.
Well, that's what's going to pay for the war, though, right?
Yeah, I guess.
That's one of the questions. It's like, what I would say to somebody that doesn't need, some people don't like government very much. It's very popular in our country to hate the government.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, we're over there in Iraq right now. This thing's going to cost $500 billion to $1 trillion.
Right.
And the question I would ask is this. It's like, you don't like the estate tax. How do you propose we deal with that? Do we find another way to pay for it? If so, what? Or two, is that another thing that we're going to pass on to our children and grandchildren to inherit, which is our debt from our war from today?
We're talking with Taylor Lincoln from Public Citizen. We're going to take a quick break. If you have a question or comment about the estate tax and its pending repeal or the extension of the repeal plan, that's what the Republicans want to do. They want to lock it in. Call me right now, Central Coast, 831-899-5792, or toll-free from elsewhere at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. As we continue with Taylor Lincoln, we're going to talk about the 18 or so super-rich families in America who are dumping money into political campaigns to try to get their way on the estate tax. And we'll name names, too. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tom Hartman.
Essentially, ethnic redistribution is happening right now as we speak. The Shia are moving out of the predominantly Sunni neighborhoods, moving into Shia neighborhoods, and the Sunnis are moving out of the predominantly Shia neighborhoods into the Sunni neighborhoods. People are swapping houses.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And this is what we saw in the Balkans. This is what we saw in Lebanon. This is what happens when civil war happens. And the civil war, I would suggest to you, is already well underway.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances, giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm kind of glad I'm not a Kennedy. Although I am partial to Hyannisport, Massachusetts. We're talking about the estate tax with Taylor Lincoln from Public Citizen. They're on the web at citizen.org. And if you go there, there is a powerful report in a PDF file about the truth about the estate tax, its value, its impact, who actually pays it. And, Taylor, here I'd like you to detail for us the plans by at least 18 of the wealthiest families in America to coalesce in order to preserve the Republican plan to eliminate the estate tax by 2010 and to keep it dead and gone in perpetuity. That's their goal, right?
That is. Now, mm-hmm. I want to give you a caveat at the start, even if it's not too exciting. It is very difficult to pin down exactly who is behind this movement.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have a definitive list. It's probably just the tip of the iceberg.
Okay.
Because lobbying disclosure laws are so porous, and there's no requirement for disclosure of what's called grassroots lobbying, which mm-hmm. often takes the form of television commercials and sham ads, I might add, from these groups.
Right.
But what we were able to do is search for the families who were lobbying on the estate tax, and or through various means finding out if they'd given money to any of the leading groups on the estate tax.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we got to these 18. There's a 3 to 4 power centers in the movement to repeal the estate tax. One is a lobbyist in California named Patricia Saldano that claims to represent 65 families. We found out about seven of them that we were able to figure out who they are, and they're famous. They include a Gallo family. There's a guy named Frank Blethen, owns the controlling interest in the Seattle Times. He is super wealthy himself and is one of the few people in this movement that's been willing to be a public figure. Another is a guy named Apolinsky that runs the conveniently named American Family Business Institute in Alabama. It's received money from the wealthiest family in Alabama and also runs these phony ads and so forth. So enough of that on the various groups. There's a couple more.
Well, I can't resist. We've got to bring in the Amway fortune, the DeVos and Van Andel families.
Right. Well, I was giving you the movement, the quarterbacks.
Okay.
Now we get to the contributors, right?
All right.
You know, some of them overlap, like Blethen does both in Seattle Times. But, yeah, Amway fortune, the DeVos family, big social conservative contributors, has lobbied on this bill. The Mars family has spent $9.5 million lobbying in the past 8 years and on a surprisingly few number of issues for what is the third largest privately funded, privately held company in the United States. State tax is there every time.
That's the Mars candy fortune, right?
Mars candy, M&Ms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Walton family has a small family retailing business called Walmart.
Yes. They bought Main Street, didn't they?
That's their idea. That's a Main Street business. And also happens to be the world's largest retailer. They've lobbied on the estate tax.
Mm-hmm.
One that you've probably heard of, but not everybody would have, is the Koch family.
Yep.
Owns Koch Industries. It's the largest privately held company in the United States.
Kansas City, right? Or somewhere like that.
Somewhere in the middle. I think it's Kansas City does not strike me as exactly where. I think more like Colorado, I think.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't have the city of this country the company's headed in, headquartered in. Or Tulsa? Maybe they're in Tulsa. Somewhere there. You know, like south central Midwest kind of area. And biggest privately held company in the United States. Family was instrumental in founding Citizens for a Sound Economy, which is sort of an advocacy tank in town, and also the Cato Institute, the liberal think tank in town.
Mm-hmm. Libertarian, not liberal.
Libertarian, yes, if I misspoke. And they've both been a client of Soldano's and lobbied on it through their own company.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get what happened with Patricia Soldano is that in the late 90s, she was actually forthcoming as she began the first years of lobbying disclosure and the law came on where you had to disclose your lobbying contacts or lobbying activities.
Mm-hmm.
And she named some of her clients, or she named them all at the time. They included Gallo. They included the Dorrance family, which holds a controlling interest in Campbell Soup, a couple families, Sobrato family, I think the Mayer family that aren't as well known. Coke, as for mentioned, and I don't have the definitive list. I don't want to just speak off the top of my head and not get it right. But that's how we got to the families, and that's how you get these names, like you say. I mean, they're big names. Amway, M&M's, and
the Stevens family listed of Stevens Incorporated. That's Jackson Stevens, the investment bank out of Arkansas.
It is Jackson Stevens, who's deceased. Warren Stevens, who's his son, and Jackson Jr. They are one of, if not the biggest contributors to the group, the Club for Growth, 527 group, that's run attack ads on state tax, both what we call issue ads, where they're trying to get members to change their votes or to vote their way, and what you would call electioneering ads, which are run right before an election when there's no vote at hand in Congress, but you're trying to knock somebody out of Congress. In the latter, they ran ads that were part of a gangbang to try to knock out Tom Daschle in 2004 that was successful, and they gloated about it afterwards. And, in fact, have even been sued by the FEC for saying that in the post-McCain-Feingold world, you went too far with those ads. The family is one of, if not the biggest contributors to the Club for Growth, and then Jackson Stevens Jr. is on the board of the Club for Growth.
Very interesting. We're joined by a caller, Dave in Humboldt. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Say hello to Taylor Lincoln.
How you doing there, Taylor?
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Real good. But, you know, looking back on history, there have been a number of very successful people who did not see their purpose as cheating and grabbing everything. There were those who believed in paying a decent wage, health insurance. Where have they gone? How is this group so stolen the government?
I mean, there's people. Warren Buffett does not support repeal of the estate tax. The Gates family, Bill Gates, does not support repeal of the estate tax. So there are people that still maintain that, that sort of public interest in the view of, contributing to society as a whole, or choose your phrase about that. Yeah, my guess would be that right now we're in a time of sort of a great populist backlash against government that's dated back, to at least the early 90s, if not before. And, these people just don't want to give their money to the evil government. But at the same time, I don't think they're willing to take inventory into the things that the government's doing to help them. You know, wealthy people benefit more than the rest of us from the government because it does things like those national security deals or trade deals or so forth. Not only are protecting them, they're protecting their companies and their economic interests.
Mm-hmm. I hear them saying, we want everything for us, and we don't care what happens to the rest of you. That's the message that's coming through today.
Right. The only thing is they're actually not saying that. They're just thinking that, right? Because the campaign isn't rich people standing up for themselves, really rich people.
Right.
I don't know about anybody on this telephone call, but I don't have $3 million. I'd consider that rich.
I'm still working on it.
These people are a whole other scale. This $100 million, billion, tens of billions.
Yeah.
And they're not saying, this is my family's $10 billion and I want to keep it. They're saying this tax is wrecking small businesses and family farms. That to me is the most gutless thing about it.
Yeah, they wrap their greed in nice little packages.
Yeah, but they're using other people. If they're going to fight their own battle, fight your own battle.
Yeah.
But this family business thing is so ridiculous, but it's also using people.
Dave, thank you for the call.
Yeah.
And Taylor, just about a minute remaining here. Where are the pressure points? Which legislators should we be addressing our comments to, saying that we want to preserve a fair estate tax in this country?
Okay, real quickly what I'd say. One is go to our www.citizen.org and pull down the report.
Mm-hmm.
It won't take long, and you'll see a section in there where the groups are running ads. That's where the pressure points are.
Yeah.
But right offhand, Lincoln Chafee in Rhode Island, both senators in Arkansas, I believe maybe Blanche Lincoln's up for re-election, North Dakota,
mm-hmm.
Kent Conrad and Dorgan, Washington State, one of the two senators out there. I think it may be Patty Murray is mm-hmm. up for re-election. So those are a few places. It's all in the Senate. And also, do take a look at the report, and if you go to the section on the activities of these groups, it'll show where they've run their ad campaigns, and that will where they've run their ad campaigns is exactly where the pressure points are. Feinstein, by the way, of California.
Yeah, well,
is not solidly against repeal.
Nope, she's not, and
she's a waverer.
Well, she's got a fortune of her own, and her husband Richard Blum has an even bigger fortune,
mm-hmm.
and so she does identify in too many respects with the Republican side of an issue like that. Taylor, thank you very much for joining us today. Great to talk with you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Taylor Lincoln, again, the website citizen.org. Coming up next, an update on the Lodi conviction. I call it a tainted conviction, announced yesterday by the jury. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
The following is a test of the emergency alert system in accordance with regulations of the Federal Communications Commission. This station is testing its emergency alert system equipment. This is only a test. This has been a test of the emergency alert system. We now return you to regular programming.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's a politically sensitive time for oil companies to announce profits.
We're paying so much money to get where we need to go, and they're making money off of it.
And a presidential advisor is back before a grand jury.
This hasn't been the best month for Mr. Rove.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. There was a protest today in Atlanta over high gas prices.
Cut the price!
Some are even calling for a boycott.
Can you imagine if nobody went in to buy gas on Saturday and Sunday? Somebody going to be squawking.
And this may only add to motorist frustration. The major oil companies are about to release earnings reports showing huge profits. In defense of the industry, spokeswoman Rayola Dewar of the American Petroleum Institute.
They're earning billions of dollars, but the thing is they're spending hundreds of billions bringing product to market, and you really have to look not just at the earnings, but also at the sales.
CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts has a look at the numbers.
Tomorrow, ExxonMobil is projected to announce more than $9 billion in profits for the first quarter alone. On Friday, Chevron is expected to announce close to $4 billion in profits. The oil industry makes no apologies. For some perspective on how big is big, ExxonMobil could make a record $41 billion in profit by the end of this year. That's enough money to give every American man, woman, and child a check for $137.
And a Senate committee is now asking the IRS for oil company tax records. Now this.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. In this surly to bed and surly to rise world, it's nice to find a group of people who love what they do. The accountants at Grant Thornton are just such people. It's their passion for what they do, their expertise and partner involvement, that have made them one of the largest accounting organizations in the world, with member firms in over 100 countries. Visit grantthornton.com. It just might brighten your day, too. Grant Thornton, a passion for the business of accounting. This is Charles Osgood, and I'll see you on the radio on the Osgood File.
Your beautiful tree, attacked by insects, and the damage isn't pretty. So backed by Bayer's 100-plus years of crop science expertise, Bayer Advanced created Tree and Shrub Insect Control with Merit, the only product to protect your tree for a full 12 months without any spraying. Just mix and pour at the trunk, and it's shielded from roots to tops. We don't hate bugs. We just love trees. Bayer Advanced Tree and Shrub Insect Control. Better science, better results.
Karl Rove was answering questions again today about the leak of a CIA agent's identity. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod reports.
That the president's closest political advisor was called back in front of the grand jury yet again makes it crystal clear that the special prosecutor's investigation is still very much alive and that Karl Rove is still very much under a cloud of suspicion. This can't be over fast enough for the White House. The president's poll numbers are at an all-time low. Gas prices are through the roof. He's got an unpopular war and a divisive immigration debate to handle, and his chief political advisor's under this cloud.
A week ago, Rove gave up his policy duties at the White House. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice showed up in Iraq today to meet with a new leadership there. CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier is in Baghdad.
This is the photo op that the American administration has been waiting for some time. The U.S. Secretary of State, the Secretary of Defense, together with an Iraqi prime minister designate for a new four-year term Iraqi government. They have been waiting 4 months for this government to form. Now they can get on with certain security plans. There is apparently a new crackdown plan in the offing where Iraqi security forces will take the lead and hopefully start taking security matters in hand.
The president wants more funding for Iraq, but the Senate today chipped away at what he wanted and decided the money would be better spent elsewhere. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss is on Capitol Hill.
It's a very small trim off the huge amount of money going to fight the war in Iraq, but has symbolic importance in showing how concerned Congress is in doing something about the immigration issue. It also is an effort by Republicans to exercise some fiscal discipline in a bill the White House complains is way out of control, containing not only money for the Iraq war and Katrina recovery, but billions for unconnected measures, including drought relief, fisheries, and moving a rail line in Mississippi.
The jury in the sentencing trial of Zacharias Moussaoui wrapped up a third day of deliberations without a verdict. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen is in Alexandria, Virginia.
Even though the verdict form is long and complicated, I think we've now reached the point where the longer the jury is out, the more concerned prosecutors will become. This is a confessed Al-Qaeda conspirator, remember, who essentially dared the jury to recommend a death sentence. And yet, 16 hours or more into deliberations, it still hasn't come.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Why do I like working for Verizon Wireless? Well, my job is turning ideas into reality. All those new features like video on your cell phone that you show your friends, that's my team bringing them to you. So what's not to like? But the best part is that here, it's not just a job. It's a career. With great training and tuition reimbursement, Verizon Wireless and I grow together. I'm Brian Williams, Technology Development Engineer. Our people, our network, Verizon Wireless. We never stop working for you.
Your next flight or vacation package on Priceline, and you could win one of five ultimate upgrades. A luxurious trip for you and your friends in your own private jet provided by One Sky Network, plus limo service and $5,000 in cash. Hurry, it's only for a limited time and only on Priceline. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends May 8th. For full details, visit Priceline.com.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, live on the Left Coast, and now in Phoenix, Arizona. Coming up later this hour, Shelley Pingree returns to our program. Former member of the state legislature in Maine and now the head of Common Cause USA. And she's going to be on The Daily Show tonight with Jon Stewart. Our music of the moment is by Joe Jackson. It's called The Verdict. Yesterday in Sacramento, two verdicts were returned. Actually, one was a non-verdict, a mistrial, in the case of the father, Umar Hayat. And the other verdict was a conviction for 23-year-old Hamid Hayat, who now faces sentencing in July and up to 39 years in prison. He has been convicted of lying to federal investigators and of materially supporting terrorism by attending an Al-Qaeda training camp in Pakistan. His attorney joins us on the phone this afternoon, Wasma Mojaddadi. Wasma, welcome to our program.
Thank you. How are you?
Well, I'm probably doing a little better than you are. Still, I'm quite outraged at this verdict. And before we get to my outrage, I want to hear your thoughts about the way the government operated in this case. The use of a paid informant who earned almost $250,000, and in my view, from my reading of the case, it appears that he entrapped your client and that the government overlooked his credibility problems in winning this conviction.
Wow. Your question is open-ended, and I have a million thoughts running through my mind of what I should respond to. But overall, the government, I think, did a terribly sloppy job in this case. It was the investigation of my client was part of a much bigger investigation that ended up empty. And really what they needed to do was they needed to convict somebody. And unfortunately, my client was in the wrong place at the wrong time and under the wrong circumstances, said some things that he shouldn't have said. And we got the government succeeded with convicting him yesterday. So it's quite unfortunate. What's frustrating for us is that we believed that the circumstances of the confession itself were really important and that the jury really needed to consider that. And when we wanted to put on our expert, who is an FBI agent, retired of 34 years, he's an expert in undercover operations, he's an expert in interrogations, we wanted him to come and basically dissect that interview and let the jury know that it was essentially a meaningless confession. The judge did not allow our expert to testify. And that was extremely frustrating for us because now in the afterthought, we're hearing that the jurors really did rely on that confession in convicting him.
And as I look at the case, again, my biggest problem is with the use of Nassim Khan. And I guess we could call him a con man if we want to bend the language a little bit. But this is a guy who was unemployed, moved from Oregon to Lodi in 2002, and he basically proceeded to develop a friendship with your client, Hamid Hayat, who is now only 23 years old. And in the exchanges that I have read about, I feel that he led your client in many cases, to make statements that probably otherwise would not have been uttered.
Exactly. Well, the story with Nassim Khan is, like you said, he was The types of jobs that he had before he was contacted by the FBI were working in convenience stores. He was unemployed. He did not have U.S. citizenship status. I think he was living with an older woman who was taking care of him. And when the FBI came to him, they were actually accusing him of something. And during the very first meeting, he looks at the TV screen and tells them that recognizes the Al-Qaeda's number two, Ayman al-Zawahiri, and says, I know this guy, starts to dream up a whole story about how him and two other people from the FBI's 22 Most Wanted were in Lodi, and gives details about what he saw them doing in Lodi, the languages that they spoke, where they were. The FBI believed him. This was just a few weeks after 9/11. The FBI actually believed him, and he repeatedly made those statements. During the trial, the government finally conceded that those statements were not true. And so what they did was they hired this informant who began the relationship with them on a lie. And I believe that he continued his work as an informant with utter dishonesty. He was reprimanded a number of times. He engaged in illegal searches that he was not allowed to do. He recorded many conversations that he did not turn over to the FBI. He had many conversations that he chose not to record. He was in ultimate control, and he was getting paid very well. And what he was investigating other people, and when he was able to not turn up anything with them, he knew in order to continue to get paid, he needed to find somebody. And unfortunately, my client was impressed by him. He was a guy who seemed to be much more educated, because Nassim Khan told my client that he was a computer expert. He drove a sports car. He wore nice clothes, and he wanted to hang out with my client, and he was 10 years older than him. So my client being an uneducated, essentially a guy who really did nothing, found himself attached to Nassim Khan. And not only did Nassim Khan befriend him, but Nassim Khan was the one who constantly praised Hamid and told Hamid that he looked up to him because Hamid had such a strong knowledge of the religion. He made Hamid feel good. So then when Nassim Khan wanted to talk about attending terrorist training camps and extremist groups in Pakistan, Hamid started making up stories and talking it up. At times he told Nassim Khan that his uncle was the leader of major political parties. He told stories of his uncle killing men who made assassination attempts against him. I mean, he really told some wild, outrageous stories to Nassim Khan, and instead of the FBI picking up on this ridiculous statement and the fact that Hamid, wasn't saying anything that was true, they continued to rely on Nassim Khan, and Nassim Khan continued to rely on the money he was getting by hanging out in Lodi and recording conversations. And so when the government realized that they had nothing on the two imams that were eventually sent back to Pakistan, and when Hamid Hayat came back to the United States and he was questioned, they got him to say things that weren't true, and they were frustrated. They had devoted years into this investigation, and they needed to convict somebody in this case. And
because they have a very sorry record in their post 9/11 efforts to bring people to justice that the government claims have been actively involved in terrorism against the United States. Exactly. We're talking with attorney Wasma Mojaddadi. She is the lawyer for Hamid Hayat, who was convicted yesterday in a Sacramento court of lying to investigators and supporting terrorism by attending a training camp. Now, how did you attempt to rebut, impeach, and exclude the tainted testimony of this FBI informant, Nassim Khan?
Well, the fact that he himself, the government itself conceded that he lied to them, we thought was very strong. And then second to that, Nassim Khan also had a burglary conviction before he was hired by the FBI. So we thought that helped. And then on the stand, I asked him questions. Well, the prosecuting attorney asked him questions, very specific questions about conversations he had with Hamid Hayat. And, of course, you know, his memory was crystal clear when he talked to her. On cross-examination, I counted the number of times he said to me, I don't remember or I don't recall, and it was over 130 times during cross-examination. Mm-hmm. He completely did not want to give me the information that I asked him for, and, you know, I think that I watched the jurors, and I think that they themselves looked at him and said, come on, you know, you've got to give answers to these questions,
mm-hmm.
and he consistently did it. But so I think to some extent the jurors, you know, may have believed some of what he said, but my understanding is that they really did rely on that confession, mm-hmm. when they convicted.
All right. We're going to take a break and return in just a moment. Again, our guest is Wasma Mojaddedi, attorney for convicted Hamid Hayat, the case coming out of the Lodi Mosque and the trial conducted in Sacramento, resulting in his conviction and a hung jury, a deadlock, in the trial of his father for at least partial charges that are similar. We'll pick up there as we continue. If you have a question or comment, get on the line now, 831-899-5792, or call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters, this Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. Tune in for Love the Skin You're In with two San Francisco guests. Hear Mary Tay describe her trademark business, Beauty with Integrity. She's famous for her customized skin treatments and devoted clients at the Mary Tay Skincare Salon. In hour two, we have dermatologist Dr. Vic Narukar. He founded the acclaimed Bay Area Laser Institute and has pioneered laser treatments for acne scars, wrinkles, skin rejuvenation, age spots, and more. He's president of the American Society of Cosmetic Dermatology and Aesthetic Surgery. The conversations will touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Keep listening and we'll keep talking about things that matter. Love the skin you're in. Saturday at 3 on Talking Matters.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. R.J. will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join R.J. Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
KRXA 540 now checking your vehicular assets. Let's check the commute this afternoon. Here's Metro Diane.
Well, just a couple accidents to tell you about first time around. We're going to start in SoCal, northbound 1 at Porter Street. We had a solo vehicle that actually spun out and hit the center divide. It was blocking both lanes there. It's now been moved over to the shoulder, so CHP is on scene. Also an accident in Marina. It's Reservation Road at West Blanco Road. Two vehicles involved in this one. They both have been moved out of the roadway. Checking Highway 17 both directions through the Santa Cruz Mountains is stall and accident-free. This report is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Did you know that ants talk by smell? The Orkin man knows. He's trained to sniff out bugs and remove them. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Minutes past the hour. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue our conversation with attorney Wajma Mojaddadi, and she represents Hamid Hayat, the 23-year-old man from Lodi who was convicted in Sacramento yesterday. He faces up to 39 years in prison. I consider this a tainted conviction. I believe that the government informant is highly suspect. The evidence presented at trial conflicted greatly with the evidence presented in the separate trial of Hamid's father, Umar Hayat. And, Wajma, I understand that these were separate trials and the juries did not get to hear the evidence from the other trial. But it must stun you that what Umar Hayat told authorities, what he described as a so-called Al-Qaeda facility in Pakistan, was drastically different from what Hamid Hayat coughed up in a questionable confession and the information that was relayed by the paid FBI informant. Is there a way to reconcile these divergent stories on appeal?
Well, and that was a very difficult legal question for us. You know, we considered whether or not we would waive. It's called the Bruton issue, and that's named after a case that raises an issue of a confrontation clause. It's a constitutional right where if the statements of one of the defendants were introduced in the trial of the other defendant, whether or not that was a confrontation clause problem. And so we decided to go ahead and keep them separate for many reasons. But of course, you know, considering the two confessions were so different and the descriptions were so different that it would have been great for the jurors to hear that. But for instance, all of the statements that Hamid Hayat had with Nassim Khan would not have helped the case in Umar Hayat, in the Umar Hayat trial. And so, you know, of course, his attorney was interested in keeping those statements out. And just the fact that Umar Hayat may have stated that his son went to a camp, that statement in itself wouldn't have helped my trial either.
Do the prosecutors have any responsibility to use the same evidence in both trials and not to introduce conflicting testimony?
No, they don't, because the charges are separate against both the defendants, and so they don't have that responsibility. You know, it was against Umar Hayat, where Umar Hayat's own statements that he made to the FBI and to Nassim Khan, and then they did the same thing with Hamid Hayat. And I think the government was actually frustrated because some of the additional evidence, one was the prayer found in Hamid's wallet, and then also the satellite image that they had. They would have liked to have used that in Umar Hayat's case, but they couldn't because of the legal issues. So, so they don't really have a responsibility to present the same types of evidence because of the legal issues that arise.
And are you surprised that the Umar Hayat jury deadlocked and the Hamid Hayat jury did not?
I am surprised because I was hoping for either an acquittal or some sort of a hung jury. I honestly was shocked by the conviction. I didn't think that all 12 jurors could get there because I think that there was enough to raise reasonable doubt.
And the comments of the jurors indicate that they did have doubt, but ultimately they felt, I think, overwhelmed by the government and the kind of deference that many American citizens give to the government on these issues. We're joined now by Basim Alkara. He represents the Council on American Islamic Relations in Sacramento. Mr. Alkara, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
What is your comment on the result of these two trials?
You know, I mean, we were shocked with Hamid's verdict. No one expected, to be guilty on all counts. And we believe it sets a dangerous precedent in our judicial system. How, someone can be convicted without any material proof.
Mm-hmm. And do you think there's any element of racism that plays into this? After all, these are American citizens. Umar Hayat is a naturalized citizen. Hamid was born here. But I think many people look at their surnames and the circumstances of the charges that have been brought and probably have at least an ethnic reaction, if not a racist one.
Many Muslims feel, given the current state of hysteria, fear, and war, that it wasn't surprising that he was convicted without any material proof. But and we believe racism, racism does play a part. Unfortunately, if you listen to the airwaves, many of the extreme right talk shows are attacking our community every day and night. Not just us, the immigrant community, Latinos, and it's unfortunate we're seeing the ugly side of America right now. And we're concerned about where this country is headed.
Mm-hmm. Wajma Mojaddadi, did you get the sense that McGregor Scott, the U.S. attorney and his staff, were willing to do kind of an Al Davis approach, whatever it takes to win this conviction?
I really do. I think that they were extremely desperate when they couldn't get anything against Imam Adil and Imam Shabir. Both of those interviewed for days, and they couldn't get anything against them. And Nassim Khan recorded conversations for years with them. And they thought these guys, as during the videotaped interviews, they called them the big fish. And when they couldn't get the big fish, they had to get somebody. And so once they filed these charges, they brought in a counterterrorism trial attorney specialist from Washington, D.C., to come and help try the case, and they really put a lot of money and a lot of resources into fighting this. And I have to say that I was extremely disappointed that McGregor Scott, in his press conference yesterday, stated that he was going to have some wine and champagne and worry about what's going to happen to Omar Hayat, who's sitting in jail after a mistrial. I was disappointed to hear that the government thinks that it's a celebration, that a guilty verdict has come and that a person's going to be sitting in jail potentially for 30-plus years. Mm-hmm. The fact that he was celebrating that is really, really sad.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you both for joining us today. And Wajma Mojaddadi, I appreciate your deft work in defending this client. I wish you the best on appeal, and I hope that this does not go down in history as another tainted conviction won by the U.S. government based on a paid informant with phony testimony.
Thank you. The fight is not over.
Basim Alkara from CARE in Sacramento, thank you for your comment as well this afternoon. Coming up next, Shelley Pingree will join us, the executive director of U.S. Common Cause. She's a guest on The Daily Show tonight on Jon Stewart, Comedy Central. We're also going to talk about reform of ethics in the House. That's next here on The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you're listening. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Felton, too. We are all the way live en vivo on KGOE, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And our program airs every night on KRX, the new progressive talk station in Phoenix, Arizona. Also, 1480 on your AM dial. Coming up next hour, it's the return of Larissa Alexandrovna, the investigative reporter from RawStory.com. We'll get the latest on Karl Rove's fifth trip to talk to the grand jury. And we'll also get her take on a story that she'll be publishing tomorrow about Ahmed Chalabi. A little provocateur that we paid $340,000 a month to launch the war in Iraq. Chalabi is back. But first up, we want to welcome the return of Chelly Pingree. She's the president of Common Cause USA, and she joins us on the program today. And you got to watch The Daily Show tonight, because she'll be the latest victim of Jon Stewart and his team. Hello, Chelly.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great today. How about you?
I'm good, although you're right, I'm bound to be embarrassed later on tonight.
What you need is the post-production agreement before you actually sit down in front of the camera.
If they embarrass me, I can veto the whole thing.
Well, often the what we call cutaways in the business, you're the subject, so
right.
You're on camera, and then they'll cut away. Who's the reporter they sent?
Ed Helms.
Ed Helms, okay.
Yeah.
So he will do his thing for the camera, and then after you've left, he'll mug for the camera. He'll ask questions that you never heard. he'll give answers that you never heard, and then they roll it all into a package, and it's funny.
Yeah, I have no doubt that it will be funny, and I will be made fun of. But, you know, I appreciate what they do, and if it makes the news interesting, I'm all in favor of it.
Well, you're a pretty good sport, because you put up with me on many occasions.
And I'm always entertained when I'm here.
And what were the topics that you discussed with the Daily Show?
Well, it's a piece about the power of incumbency, how 98% of incumbents get returned to office, you know, redistricting, the power of incumbents in raising money, and then all the perks and privileges once you get elected, the members of Congress who really just don't seem to want to leave. And one of the figures we gave them is that this year Congress will only be in session for 97 days, which is the least amount of time in the last 50 years. Not that they have much to do, you know, a war, a budget deficit, you know, economic issues, high gas prices. Apparently they don't need to spend so much time in Washington this year, but they're bound and determined to get reelected.
Just trying to match the president's vacation schedule?
I guess so. I guess he set it tone, and it seems to be catching on.
Yeah. Well, it is fair to say that Congress is on a light schedule this year, and it is interesting to see their priorities. And I always like to acknowledge that you're nonpartisan at Common Cause, and I will try not to draw you into any of my partisan comments, but, you know, I can't help myself.
Yeah, you feel free, and I'll just, you know, hold my comments.
Well, it's just amazing to see that they have spent so much time on rhetoric related to immigration issues, and they really are not focusing on critical issues before them, even issues that Republicans know are significant, like the way the Iraq war is being funded in Enron style, off the books.
Right.
We don't acknowledge that that is a part of our annual budget. It's all done through emergency and separate appropriations bills. And, you know, at the end of the year, they use fuzzy math, as Bush called, you know, accused Al Gore of using in the debate in 2000. They use fuzzy math to pretend that the deficit is smaller than it is. And, you know, that's just that's Tom Coburn, the conservative Neanderthal in my book from Oklahoma, who is speaking up about that issue. And first and foremost, Congress should spend time cleaning up its own internal affairs, because it's predominantly, in my view, a Republican problem, but the Democrats are not immune. There are ethics scandals that are percolating on both sides of the aisle.
Well, you're right, and even if right now there are more Republicans implicated in the scandal, what you find is the general public looks at it and says, a pox on both your houses. The tragedy is it makes people feel that all politicians are bad, that none of them take their job seriously, and even the smallest things, you know, a $50 lunch, they're not willing to give up, which really does reflect very badly on our impression of the people we elect to office.
Now, Shelley Pingree, are you one of those cruel people who wants to see Trent Lott eating lunch at McDonald's? Not McDonald's, McDonald's is how
he
pronounced it.
Well, he did say, as you have noted here, when they suggested a gift ban, he said, what are we going to have to do, eat lunch at, I guess you're right, McDonald's.
He also complained that he'd have to spend more time dining with his wife. I don't think that's going to play well with Mrs. Lott.
Yeah, I think he may have kind of wished he hadn't said that one. But,
well,
you know, it's amazing to watch, though. You have all these proposals that came before Congress, particularly back in January as the Abramoff scandals were breaking, and the public was outraged, and everybody said, oh, we're going to clean up the Congress. We're going to get rid of, you know, free travel on corporate jets and golf trips to Scotland and, you know, everything that people were hearing about every day. And when it comes right down to it, it's hard to get these members to do anything to change their behavior.
Well, and I'm looking at the Common Cause website right now. And you have articulated that the so-called lobby reform bill that the lower house is expected to vote on tomorrow is a pathetic response to the lobbying scandal that does nothing to curb the anything-goes culture in Washington and cannot be credibly called reform. Now, hold on just a minute here. They're not going to let former members of the House and Senate, who are now lobbyists, come to the gym anymore. We sent Martha Stewart to jail to fix our corporate ethics problems. Doesn't this fix the elected official ethics problem right there?
That ought to pretty much cover it, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, forget about campaign financing. Forget about the fact that 79 members of Congress actually have a registered lobbyist as the treasurer of their campaign committee. I mean, that can't even pass the straight face test, not to mention all the contributions that the lobbyists solicit for them and the fundraisers that they hold and the, you know, again, the free lunches and the trips that people take to cozy up to next to the people who want to make sure they have a little influence on the legislation. It just sort of boggles the mind that these guys think they can put forward a bill that basically does nothing. And then they're going to go back to their home districts and run for re-election in a year they promised to clean up the Congress.
And do you think there is any hope, given the one-party rule situation presently in Washington, that an independent Office of Public Integrity will ever be established?
Well, I think what's going to be interesting is that they are running into a little bit of trouble. You know, all the watchdog groups this last week have told them that they should be embarrassed to vote for this bill. Apparently there's a little strife going on the inside. And I'm kind of wondering what will happen if they get this bill to the floor. You know, it could be that they don't do anything right now, and then they go back and do a little campaigning, and they do hear from their constituents who say, what are you people thinking? Most of these guys are going to have serious challenges for the first time, I think, in a long time, and many of the challengers to incumbents this year are going to be saying, I'm really going to go to clean up Washington. I think you're going to have some nervous members. Maybe they're not very nervous today, but I think get them out of Washington for a couple of weeks, they might start paying a little more attention.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see that. And I also do feel it's important to say that the American people have an obligation to pay attention and to speak up. And for my money, all too often, people are concerned about the controversies of the voting on American Idol, but they're not concerned about free and fair elections in our country, about the way incumbents have this incredible advantage over challengers, as you cited, the money, the franking privilege, the just general notion that they're better known than anybody who challenges them. We really need to call upon our citizens to become more active force yourself to spend a little more time at C-SPAN and a little less time on the E channel or watching the bigamy series on HBO.
Well, I'm just hoping people can fit both of them into their lives this year, you know, because I think everybody needs a break and a little bit of entertainment. But the fact is, if we watch our democracy go down the drain and then wonder why we have $3 gas prices, you're right. We got nobody to blame but ourselves. And we're putting together a pledge campaign that we're going to start a little bit later in the election cycle and basically ask people to go, you know, hear their local member of Congress or the challenger go speak and ask them to pledge to take on real reform, public financing of campaigns, real transparency, an actual watchdog in Congress that enforces some of these rules. And I think, with citizens speaking up and reporting back, letting each other know what they're hearing, more of these members are going to feel the pain than think they're going to feel it right now.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and continue with Shelley Pingree from Common Cause. Watch her tonight on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. We hope she survives. And if you have a question and comment or comment about what's going on in Washington and the efforts to rein in abuse of the ethics process and ethics rules themselves, join us on the phone right now, 831-899-5792 from the Central Coast. And you can call me toll-free if you're listening anywhere else at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. You can hear archive programs, listen to podcasts, get the link to our live stream, or send me an email. It's all at one website, peterbcollins.com. 44 minutes past the hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with a brand new reality radio show every Saturday evening, 6 to 7, right here on AM 540 KRXA. We'll have colorful, interesting guests, and we'll take your calls. There's no subject we won't explore together. So join us this Saturday night, 6 to 7, on Reality Radio with Sheila Gale on Progressive Talk Radio, AM 540 KRXA.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
On June 6th, you'll have the opportunity to cast your vote for or against Proposition 82, which proposes to provide preschool for all four-year-olds in California. Find out what this would mean for children, teachers, and taxpayers. Learn more so you can vote wisely.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540. Time to take a look at traffic. It's 4:46 here at KRXA 540. Here's Metro Diane.
We have a new injury accident coming through for Ben Lomond. It's Empire Grade Road at Alba Road. A motorcyclist is down in the roadway, so emergency crews are en route for that. We also have an accident in Marina. It's Reservation Road at West Waco Road. Two vehicles involved. Some good news in Monterey. It's westbound 68 at Highway 1. That accident has been cleared. And the Santa Cruz Mountains, both directions of Highway 17 through the Santa Cruz Mountains, stall and accident-free. This report is brought to you by the members of the National Association of Realtors. Selling your home, realtors have the experience to price your home so it can sell for up to 16% more than selling it yourself. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you much, Diane. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour here on KRXA 540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Did you know there's a rat in the kitchen? What am I going to do? And in a possibly related topic, Fox Newsman Tony Snow has been named the new White House press secretary. And tomorrow at this very time, David Brock from Media Matters for America will be with us. Give you the lowdown on Tony Snow. Some of the critical things that he's written and said about the Bush administration over the last year or so. And some of the outright misstatements that he has broadcast, many of which were favorable to the administration that now employs him. We continue our conversation with Shelley Pingree from Common Cause. You can visit their website, commoncause.org, and find out more about the ethics reform proposals that have been framed by Common Cause and others. And I want to mention again that Shelley will be on The Daily Show on Comedy Central tonight. It's my favorite show. I rarely miss it. And it does do a good job of presenting important topics in an entertaining way and often delivers analysis that's overlooked by the mainstream media. Shelley, you might recall a few years ago when people accused Dick Cheney of making pre-war statements. He denied them. And then it was The Daily Show that put the original clip from the Meet the Press with Tim Russert together with his more recent denial. And then the next day, I saw MSNBC pick up that story after it had been broken by The Daily Show.
Thank goodness for The Daily Show, right? I mean, more and more Americans are going there to find their news. It's the one show that's often willing to talk about things that never make it onto the mainstream news shows.
It's true. And sometimes their analysis is purely for humorous effect, but other times it is dead on. and you laugh, and then you find that little tear in the corner of your eye.
Exactly. So I can take a little humor with my news once in a while because it's all pretty darn depressing most of the time.
Yeah. What do you think about Tony Snow moving over to the White House from Fox? We're cutting out the middleman.
Yeah, it's fascinating. After you probably watched that movie Out Fox a couple of years ago, and there was that whole piece where you had George Bush kind of cutting out on the side to a newscaster, basically talking about his campaign, talking with a news reporter about the reporter's wife working on the campaign, and you realized how close they were. And once again, you see this kind of revolving door. We don't need to have a revolving door law in Congress. We can just have it with the news bureaus now.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see. And as I mentioned, David Brock will be here tomorrow. I really think that his organization, Media Matters, has done a great job of holding people accountable because, you know, I do a radio show every day, and you can get away with a lot of things just because there isn't anybody who's taking notes or running a tape recording of what I'm doing.
Exactly.
And on a national level, you know, people like Rush Limbaugh and some of the smarmiest like Michael Savage really use that with great license. And Media Matters has done a great job not only of reining in the right wing, but also holding people like Chris Matthews to account for some of the things that he said and some of the allusions and conclusions that he has drawn that were not, in fact, based on fact. And I think this is an important way of trying to recenter the media in this country.
Oh, it's a great service that they do, not only analyzing what people are saying, but just producing the transcripts. So, you know, all these conservative news shows and other programs where people thought they could just, you know, shoot from the hip and say whatever they wanted are now being transcribed, and you got to take responsibility for the words you use.
Yeah, that's a very important development, I think. Now, returning to the ethics issues, one of the critical problems has been that and what prompted the proposal from you and others for a public an Office of Public Integrity, an independent watchdog that could actually enforce ethics rules on our elected officials. Both the Senate and the House Ethics Committees have been essentially neutered over the last few years, and it's really hard to figure out exactly why. We know that some of the more aggressive members were booted by Tom DeLay after they returned admonishments to him. But it's hard to explain why the Democrats have not used the ethics committees in the House and Senate for the numerous issues that have arisen.
Well, you know, the sad thing is this is where this tends to become occasionally a bipartisan problem. And the House Democrats and Republicans had a truce going for about 7 years. It wasn't until Chris Bell filed an ethics complaint against Tom DeLay over the redistricting issue that you actually saw a breaking of the truce. But basically for 7 years, we couldn't get a Democrat to file a complaint or a Republican. And what happened 7 years ago was when the Republicans came in and took over, basically everybody made an agreement that there would be no more outside organizations allowed to file ethics complaints. So we couldn't file anymore, and then the Republicans and Democrats decided not to do it on each other. I mean, one of the problems is both caucuses have members who cross the line. And the real problem is here, many of the things that we've been hearing about these trips, some of the meals, a lot of the activity of Jack Abramoff, who was involved with members of Congress, were already against the rules. But if you had no traffic cop, in a sense, you don't have anyone to tell you that people are speeding. And again, Congress is charged with policing itself, and that's how Congress maintains faith in the American public. It's a true fundamental of how our democracy works. So this has been very upsetting to those of us who watch what's been going on and seen it getting worse. And frankly, in the end, it was the Justice Department that had to step in and really force people to look at what egregious things have been going on right in front of our very eyes. So that's why many of us have come up with this idea. Justice has been done in several states around the country is to have an independent body that helps regulate the ethics of the members of Congress. This happens with state legislatures in many places, and frankly, it makes it somewhat easier on the members because they don't have to kind of be policing each other. They have an independent task force that can look into this, and make a determine. The ultimate vote has to go back to the members of Congress, but it allows them to have a little bit of an outsider feeling to it and a little bit of distance. We can't understand why this has been voted down in both the House and the Senate, because we really think it would go a long ways to restoring faith in what's just become a joke of a system.
Well, and for me, the bottom line is that this is a byproduct of one-party rule. If
right.
we had a vibrant bipartisan situation in at least one of the houses, there would be subpoena power. There would be a committee chair who could examine these issues, and at least there would be the potential for the House or Senate to police itself in an appropriate way. But as we've seen, and I mainly bash Republicans on this program, and I hear from some of my Republican listeners occasionally, so I want to go out of my way to identify Alan Mollahan of West Virginia, a ranking Democrat on the Appropriations Committee, who we now learned in a subsequent report today fed earmarked money to a friend of his with whom he bought a piece of property, almost $1 million worth of investment. And he appears oblivious to the obvious conflict of interest posed there. And he did step down from the Ethics Committee, which is to his credit, and we're talking about charges here, not anything that's been proven to date. But it is, at least by appearance, a very serious conflict.
Absolutely. As you mentioned, no party is immune to this. And frankly, some of this has to do with a climate that's taken over in Washington. A little bit of anything goes. And you're here too long. You feel like your seat is safe. You know, your district boundaries are done in such a way that it's very difficult for people to challenge you. You have the advantage in raising money. Before you know it, people start taking a few too many liberties, taking advantage of their job. Certainly not all members do, but what you get is this climate of a lot more corruption than we should see in the people who are charged with protecting our democracy.
Shelley Pingree, I want to merge two questions here. I know that Common Cause supported a redistricting measure that was on the ballot in California last year, as well as one in Ohio. And I want to focus on Ohio because the pre-election polling indicated that voters supported that redistricting measure, which would have been much more fair than the map currently drawn in Ohio. But curiously, the final results published were almost the mirror opposite of the pre-election polling, which had been stunningly accurate on Measure 1, which was an initiative supported by the Republican leadership in Ohio. Do you have any doubts about the honesty of that referenda election, November 2005 in Ohio?
Well, I'll tell you what I do have. I have a lot of doubts about the voting system in Ohio. I think that the challenges around redistricting are in many ways a whole nother topic, because it's a very difficult issue for the public to understand. That was another case where, frankly, the Democrats and the Republicans both were somewhat in opposition to the bill because incumbents like to hang on to the way things are done. So I'm not sure I can chalk that one up to voting irregularities. But if you take me back to 2004, where we did do a lot of election observing in Ohio, and one of our big issues in going out into the future is what we need to do in this country to really get the system of voting put back together in such a way so that it's fair, so that people can depend on the fact that their vote is going to be counted. And Ohio was really, as many of us said, it was the next Florida, and it was the poster child for a whole variety of things, from voting machines. Go ahead.
You're right on, and it's the most important issue to our listeners, and we're out of time. We'll see you on the Daily Show tonight.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Shelley Pingree, Common Cause.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridi. So, think of being ripped off by the oil companies?
I do think there's a lot of gas gouging going on by the companies themselves.
So what are you doing about it? These folks hit the streets and made some big threats.
As the price of gas ticks higher across the country, in Atlanta, David threatened Goliath with a boycott.
Can you imagine if nobody went in to buy gas on Saturday and Sunday?
But no one should expect the corporate giants to blink. Tomorrow, ExxonMobil is projected to announce more than $9 billion in profits for the first quarter alone. On Friday, Chevron is expected to announce close to $4 billion in profits.
And CBS's Byron Pitt says today ConocoPhillips came out with its earnings report. They say they made 13% more in profit, nearly $400 million. And that's just for the first 3 months of this year. So what gives? Rayola Dewar at the American Petroleum Institute says, before you start freaking out, you got to remember,
they're earning billions of dollars, but the thing is they're spending hundreds of billions bringing product to market, and you really have to look not just at the earnings, but also at the sales.
Tonight, the Senate is asking the oil industry for its books. It wants to see if they're paying enough in taxes. Courtroom action from the Beltway to the Lone Star State in Washington. It was a White House heavy hitter taking the stand, answering a grand jury's questions about the CIA leak investigation. CBS's Peter Mayer says
Karl Rove's fifth grand jury appearance is a reminder that the legal challenges facing one of the president's top advisors are far from over. The deputy chief of staff remains under investigation in the CIA leak case, but there is no indication that Rove is a target or that he faces indictment.
Over in Alexandria, Virginia, the jury spent a third day deciding whether 9/11 conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui should be locked up for life or given death. They couldn't answer it.
It's still relatively early in the process, and jurors are weighing life and death, but the feds have to be getting a little nervous now, a little concerned that they haven't gotten a death sentence recommendation yet from this jury. When you consider the enormity of the crime of 9/11 and Moussaoui's lack of remorse, you would have figured the government would have gotten a quick verdict, but clearly that hasn't happened.
At CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen, at the Enron trial in Houston, the company's former top honcho took the stand. Ken Lay was the CEO. Now he's facing fraud charges. He swears he didn't know the company was going down the tubes when he cashed out millions in stock. In Denver,
the bus hit a car and it swiveled and was just right about to fall over, but instead it went up the curb and went straight into the house.
17 people on that school bus were hurt, the majority middle school students. Not too bad, though. On Wall Street, the Dow hit a six-year high thanks to strong showings from Anheuser-Busch and GE. It boosted the Dow more than 71 points by the time of close. Pretty good day over the NASDAQ, too. It rose about 3 points. This is CBS News.
I'm thrilled my husband is such a do-it-yourselfer. But some things are better left to professionals. We learned that the hard way after a recent termite problem. Oh, it turns out household pests can cause major property damage and contribute to serious health problems. Now I trust a pest professional to keep our home pest-free. With my home and family, I don't take risks. And in the long run, we even save money, too. Ow. Oh, honey!
Visit pestworld.org to find a qualified pest professional today.
Book your next flight or vacation package on Priceline, and you could win one of five ultimate upgrades. A luxurious trip for you and your friends in your own private jet provided by One Sky Network, plus limo service and $5,000 in cash. Hurry, it's only for a limited time and only on Priceline. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends May 8th. For full details, visit Priceline.com.
Say a nasty flu were to break out and people did nothing to stop it. How many of us would get sick or worse? CBS's John Harchie says
a computer simulation in the journal Nature shows a pandemic flu would strike 1 in 3 people if nothing were done. Fast government action with enough antiviral medicine, which the U.S. does not have, could cut that down to about 1 in 4 people getting sick. The experts at the Imperial College of London, who did the study, say there is no single magic bullet for stopping pandemic flu. A U.S. health official says there's enough medicine on hand for only about 2% of Americans.
You'll probably agree there are a few things sadder than a sick, weak, elderly person. So you got to wonder what runs through the veins of the guys who stocked hospitals in Michigan and Illinois, then pickpocketed some elderly hospital patients and visitors. Someone's been doing it since 99. Police got their hands on some surveillance video and were able to make out three faces pretty clearly. Today, three suspects are locked up facing charges. I'm Chris Mavridis, CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. In this surly to bed and surly to rise world, it's nice to find a group of people who love what they do. The accountants at Grant Thornton are just such people. It's their passion for what they do, their expertise and partner involvement, that have made them one of the largest accounting organizations in the world, with member firms in over 100 countries. Visit grantthornton.com. It just might brighten your day, too. Grant Thornton, a passion for the business of accounting. This is Charles Osgood, and I'll see you on the radio on the Osgood File.
Your beautiful tree, attacked by insects, and the damage isn't pretty. So backed by Bayer's 100-plus years of crop science expertise, Bayer Advanced created Tree and Shrub Insect Control with Merit, the only product to protect your tree for a full 12 months without any spraying. Just mix and pour at the trunk, and it's shielded from roots to tops. We don't hate bugs. We just love trees. Bayer Advanced Tree and Shrub Insect Control. Better science, better results.
With synchronized discipline, this is the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live on KRXA 540 Monterey, live on KGOE 1480 Eureka, and now heard on KPHX 1480 in Phoenix. A little later this hour, we open up the phones to talk with you in the free speed zone. If you want to grab a line early, you know the number, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll free from anywhere at 1-888-579-2540. And every week, we get a briefing from Larissa Alexandrovna. She is the investigative reporter at rawstory.com, one of, I think there are lots of them, but she's the one we know. And there's a lot to talk about today. She's breaking a story tomorrow that brings the friendly face of Ahmed Chalabi back into the news cycle. But Larissa, first up, I think topic A today is Karl Rove's fifth trip to talk to the grand jury. How are you today?
I'm okay. I'm actually, you know, it's satisfying to at least finally see that, you know, if you remember, Jason and I reported that this was going to be going on. Even last year we reported this. We were alone in that, but we took a lot of heat. And now that this is happening and people are citing all sorts of, you know, previous reporting without even mentioning us. It's on one hand vindication. On the other hand, it's fairly frustrating.
Well, you and Jason Leopold have done yo person's work in breaking this story, in dogging Robert Luskin, Rove's attorney, and others whom we have not learned about because they're your anonymous sources. But you've both done a great job on this. Now, Jason Leopold reports today that Karl Rove has been named a target by prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald. The Washington Post, in a story that is now 3 hours old, says that Luskin denies that Rove has been named a target. What do you know about that?
Well, I mean, I'm more inclined to believe the reporter who's been covering this all along as opposed to a stenographer. And I would say that I would agree with Jason. I think that, I haven't confirmed this with my own sources, but I trust Jason's reporting, and I think that Rove is very much a target. Now, whether he's called a target or they're using some kind of other terminology or they didn't serve Rove with the papers but his attorney, you know, there's a lot of wordplay that could be going on here, but he's in serious trouble. There's no question. And as you know, I had reported that he actually, you know, provided the chain of emails that led directly into the office of the vice president in order to try to save himself. So what, if anything, that accomplished, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it, from what, and I'm not an attorney, but certainly from what my kind of sense of this is this, that although everyone thinks he's going to clarify something, I don't see it that way. I see it as a last-ditch attempt at something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my speculation. That's not, you know, something I know. I'm, it's just given what I know, I'm speculating. You know?
Sure. Well, and let's speculate a little more here because there's a lot we don't know, and we acknowledge that. But
right.
It is highly unusual for anyone to be called before a grand jury multiple times, much less five times. And we do know that there are serious conflicts in the testimony that Rove has offered on his previous visits. And it mostly revolves around the issue of his public statements and what we believe he told investigators, which was that, oh, gosh, he learned about this from media reports.
And I think it's more serious than that. I think it involves, and this is where this added appearance might be in order to maybe get a lesser charge. We know that there was obstruction of justice. We know that documents were destroyed. Emails, hard drives were erased. We know this because Karl Rove provided this to the prosecution in terms of cooperating, as his attorney says he's always been cooperating. So I would say it's just a little more serious than false statements to the FBI, and this is where I think he's trying to get a lesser charge. Again, this last part is my own speculation.
Right, and I speculate in the same direction, Larissa. I believe that Rove is in there trying to wiggle out of more serious charges, but he wouldn't have made a fifth trip if they didn't consider him to be of serious interest. Whether he is a quote-unquote target or not is almost beside the point. He clearly is seen, I'll put it this way, I believe he is clearly seen as linked to the group that outed Valerie Plame Wilson for political reasons.
I think but I also think he's much more in the planning of it, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
He was the chairman of the White House Iraq group, you know, the group consisting of high-level officials who were charged with selling the war and silencing critics.
And Whigs of a whole new century.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And he was the chair of that. And as such, and if you look at the playbook of how this all developed, you can literally look at any number of campaigns that Rove has done, whether it was John McCain or you know, anyone else, where there's a rumor mill that started. And so you can see that he set the process, how they were going to do this. And this is, you know, obviously, again, I'm speculating, but given what we do know and given his history, I'm fairly comfortable saying that even if he wiggles out of those charges, in my mind and given what I know, I'm comfortable saying I feel that he obstructed justice, if not entirely, you know, destroyed evidence. So we'll just have to wait and see. I think the sad thing is there's too much focus on him going in and out, as opposed to when he actually there's something concrete. For example, we know that he's providing the information on the leaked emails that were suddenly found, or we know that the timeline of Vivica Novak, the reporter he threw out at the 11th hour to try to, you know, push back being indicted with Libby, you know, doesn't match up. These things, I think, are incredibly important. But he meets today. He didn't meet today. The entire day, people were, he arrived in this car. He's wearing this. He's smiling. He's not smiling. I think it's a lot of waste of time because we have so much going on that needs to be covered. And it's really astonishing to me. I don't know if they're trying to make up for not paying attention to this story at all and then getting it wrong for a long time. That is the mainstream press.
Yeah.
By now covering every minutia in great detail as though it were, you know, something of great importance.
Well, but the, particularly the corporate television media is much better at covering a perp walk than they are detailing the issues that caused that perp to walk.
Sure, but let's ask, this is what I think is incredibly disturbing to me. You know, to sit here and say, you know, well, we don't know, he may have done this, he may have not done that, we know a great deal, and based on that, there's certain clarifications that could be made to a lot of the misinformation that's being put forth. Even today, I believe it was Bill Bennett on CNN said she wasn't covert, which is absolutely not true. But beside that, why is no one covering what she was working on? By far more important than what Rove is wearing, what he's driving, what, you know.
And the answer to that question is nuclear proliferation and, in particular, Iran.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. Inputs and outputs, Iran, in and out of Iran. Correct. That is correct.
Yeah.
There's since come out more, but Steve Clemens kind of elaborated a Washington note on this a little more. I'm not comfortable discussing it, and I've told you this, you and our listeners, you know, several times as to why, but he has put some of it out, and that is, in fact, correct. So I would urge people to go read what Steve Clemens mentions with regard to that operation, because it's out there now. So,
Thank you for the tip.
that's the best I can do. You know?
While preserving your confidential sources, we like that. Larissa Alexandrovna with us, and we'll continue in just a moment. She writes for rawstory.com. Visit the website, check out what they cover. And as we continue, she'll tip us off about a story that should be published tomorrow that brings Ahmed Chalabi back into the American consciousness. He was the guy who fleeced us for $340,000 a month to give us phony information that led to the invasion of Iraq, or at least in part. And he's back working his thing. Larissa will tell us what she can coming up next. If you have a question or comment, get on the line now, 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. at 1-888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show, Let the Touch of an Angel Make Your Next Wedding, Anniversary, Birthday, or Family Celebration Extra Special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540 with a look at your ride home. It's 520, and here's Metro Diane.
We have a solo vehicle accident in Rio Del Mar. It's northbound 1 at Rio Del Mar Boulevard. Vehicle is in the center divide there. Also an injury accident in Ben Lomond. It's Empire Grade Road at Alba Road. A motorcyclist down in the roadway there. The emergency crews are on scene, still clearing that one up. Also, keep your eyes open in Gonzales. It's northbound 101 at Old Stage Road. A ladder across both lanes there. Second of Santa Cruz Mountains, both directions of Highway 17, stall and accident-free. This report is brought to you by Sears. It's time for Sears Days, where you can find the lowest prices of the season. This week at Sears, where spring changes everything, sale ends 4/29/06. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Diane. We'll check in with you about half an hour from now and get a little more. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know. If you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections, run the country into the ground.
Another fine musical selection that arrived via email. I have no idea who's responsible for that song, but it's called We're the Republicans, and we owe an apology to the Monkees, but otherwise it's a pretty good song. Larissa Alexandrovna continues with us from rawstory.com. And Larissa, when we spoke last week, we had connected some interesting personalities that brought Monikhar Ghorbanifar back into our consciousness. We had last heard from him in the Iran-Contra affair when he was the murky multinational arms merchant and trader who helped facilitate Ali North's dreams. And you're going to break a story tomorrow that I haven't seen much about, so tell us how we connect this to Ahmed Chalabi.
Well, it's actually very closely related to tomorrow's piece. Essentially, what I'd reported is that Ghorbanifar, who, as you so well described, is nothing more than a con man, criminal, and arms dealer, and he's made appearances since Iran-Contra, most notably in this administration, through various meetings abroad with Pentagon officials.
Mm-hmm.
He was reintroduced, as it were, by the office of the vice president, in fact, on the orders of Vice President Cheney, to surveil the U.S. ambassador to Iraq, Zalmay Khalilzad, to monitor any types of negotiations with Iran, because frankly, they don't want, the vice president's office doesn't want negotiations. They want regime change.
Mm-hmm.
What's fascinating is that Ahmed Chalabi appears to be the person who is attempting to broker the negotiations between Khalilzad and the Iranians, most notably this latest one where they were going to discuss stick to just discussing Iraq and Iran's possible involvement in certain insurgents' support or whatnot.
Right.
They were
allegedly, the Iranian nuke program and all that is off the table.
Right.
It's only bilateral discussions regarding Iraq.
Right, correct. And that was brokered by Chalabi.
Mm-hmm.
So you have essentially a criminal brokering discussions, and our administration then outsources spying on the criminal, the U.S. government as represented abroad, to spy to make sure that there aren't negotiations. And as you know, those negotiations fell through. So
I have mastered the phrase that the president can't get out, which is, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Now, Chalabi, we've been around the block with several times. We were paying him $340,000 a month out of the Pentagon budget prior to and during the first wave.
Out of the State Department budget. Now we're paying him out of Pentagon, I think. If I remember correctly, it was state. That's what scared me, is why is the state paying him?
Well, let's check into this, because my memory, which is not always perfect, is that the State Department paid Chalabi back in the 90s.
Oh, maybe that's where I'm
But it was defense that was paying him, because both state and the CIA didn't believe him. They didn't buy his act. And it was when Wolfowitz and Rumsfeld arrived at the Pentagon and Doug Feith set up the Office of Special Plans, I believe that's where the funding came most recently for Chalabi. So that's the way I remember.
You may be right. I may be confusing too many storylines. It's been a long day.
Sure.
But and I apologize for all that extra noise. The phone's ringing off the hook.
but in any event,
right.
We have established that Chalabi is a con man.
Absolutely, and a felon.
And that, well, of course, the Jordanian bank conviction.
Right.
But just in relation to the United States, mm-hmm. he conned us and used whatever he could to get us to invade Iraq and topple Saddam. And it was his guy Curveball who fed us the phony information about mobile weapons labs. So my point is that this guy is toxic, and we know it, and we're dealing with him again.
But wait, let's not forget that we had our military go in and search his home and arrest him and his associates for passing classified information to Iran after the invasion of Iraq.
That was about 2 years ago.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then we made him the Minister of Oil. So does this sound schizophrenic? Absolutely. I agree with you that this is all very bizarre. But my understanding, the way it's being explained to me, really, is that they really don't want anything other than regime change. They know they're not going to be given that option via congressional approval. And they know that they can't necessarily use unapproved resources. So they're outsourcing activities to Gurbanifer, because essentially that would make Cheney spying on the U.S. government. That's illegal. So he's outsourced that to a criminal, and they're employing terrorist groups as covert operatives.
We've discussed that. We've discussed that, the MEK group.
Right, and now others have already published similar stories after mine ran. So that's fairly well known now.
Mm-hmm.
So they're employing them in order to bypass congressional approval. And Chalabi, I don't know. The problem with this situation is that it's not known whether Chalabi inserted himself, which I think is probably the most likely scenario here, or if he was sent by the Iranians or by someone in the Pentagon. I think it's more likely he inserted himself, given who he is and the type of interests he has. And clearly, our administration is not pleased that he's trying to get negotiations going.
Right. About 30 seconds, Larissa. What else would you like to add to this?
Well, I think I really want to add is that I think it's very important that we remember that last Friday, while there was a CIA officer fired and outed at the same time, the same day a story broke regarding Condoleezza Rice as having leaked classified information to the same group, AIPAC, to the same source and the same information that Larry Franklin is now serving 12 years for. And that was not remotely mentioned by anyone.
Well, thank you for reminding us. I did see it, but did not grasp the significance of it. We'll talk again next week, Larissa. Thanks for joining us.
Uh-huh.
Larissa Alexandrovna, read her work at rawstory.com and make a plan to visit tomorrow and check out more on this story about you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Volvo V50, a five-seat compact wagon that gets high marks for design and performance. The V50 has a turbocharged 2.5-liter, five-cylinder engine and a five-speed automatic. It's got great acceleration and plenty of passing power. I'm impressed with its handling and traction, the full-time all-wheel drive, and good visibility for the driver. It's a nice medium size, inside and out, easy to parallel park. The rear access is a split door, and the cargo space is average in size. You should test drive the V50 before you buy a Passat or Mazda 6. By the numbers, the 2006 Volvo V50 wagon gets 20 mpg in the city, 28 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $33,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
On June 6th, you'll have the opportunity to cast your vote for or against Proposition 82, which proposes to provide preschool for all four-year-olds in California. Find out what this would mean for children, teachers, and taxpayers. Learn more so you can vote wisely.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540. Thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're into the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome from any viewpoint on any topic and from anywhere within the sound of my voice. If you're listening on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. If you're listening online or North Coast or, you know, anywhere else in America, the toll-free line is for you, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And to kick off our free speech segment this afternoon, Steve Zmack joins us from Citizens Against Walmart in Marina. Hello, Steve. Welcome to our program.
Hi, Peter. Thanks.
Good to talk with you again.
Yeah.
And this issue is reaching a new stage we want people to know about tomorrow night. But I first wanted to talk about your exchange with the management of a local television station on the Central Coast, KSBW. They ran an editorial poo-pooing your objections to Walmart and saying, gosh, this is simply a matter of choice, and that Kmart store has been vacant for years now, and they try to basically just bulldoze over the issues that you've raised. And you offered them a very smart response. I was quite impressed with what you wrote. Give us a quick sense of this exchange.
Well, I think right off the bat, calling us a bunch of zealots who compare the threat of Walmart to Al-Qaeda is just over-the-top irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially, you know, a station with so much influence and media coverage as KSBW, to make a comparison like that is just, it's unfounded, and it's just completely irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's two issues here. First of all, you know, Walmart in itself is just, it's a bad business. You know, they're not like other retailers. Their track record with labor violations, environmental violations, discrimination against women, record-breaking fines from the U.S. government, record-breaking lawsuits.
And not only that, they're a Death Star for mom-and-pop businesses on Main Street USA.
Completely. And the second issue is how this deal went down. You know, at the October Planning Commission meeting here in Marina, everyone left that meeting in agreement that we were going to have multiple retailers coming in there. 2 to 4 were going to occupy that Kmart building. They were going to bring in more tax revenue, bring in more and higher quality, higher paying jobs that have good benefits, as opposed to a Walmart. So when people say, you know, well, what about the tax revenue, or it's about time we fill that Kmart building, well, that was the plan, and to do it a lot more efficiently. And all of a sudden, underhanded comes in Walmart. Surprise. What happened?
Mm-hmm. And this got fast-tracked, and, well, first of all, has KSBW offered you the opportunity to respond on the air to their editorial?
No, they haven't. They did respond back to our email and mentioned they've gotten an overwhelming response to their editorial, and mentioned that they would be considering some sort of, reading a few excerpts of the responses on air, but we don't know when that's going to happen or to what degree.
Well, you might impress upon them that because they made an editorial statement from management, I believe that under the law they have an obligation to provide a response to a reasonable spokesperson presenting another point of view. So you might press that issue and see if they'll permit you to go on television and respond as you did in the email.
I will, Peter. That's a good idea. I wasn't aware of that.
So what is the next step here in this process?
Well, yeah, tomorrow night, 6:30 at Marina City Hall, 211 Hillcrest Avenue, is going to be the Planning Commission meeting. And on their action item agenda is they're going to be hearing testimony from dozens of members of the public. We plan on filling the place to demonstrate our concerns and objections to Walmart coming to Marina, derailing our general plan, derailing the good and hard work our Planning Commission has been doing to date, and insist that the zoning permit be modified or revoked, as is within the power of our Planning Commission pursuant to our Marina Municipal Code. And hopefully they're gonna see it our way. They're gonna also agree that they were provided negligently with false material information by Tellen and Keshen, the developers who leased the land to Walmart. And they're going to go to a second hearing 2 weeks from tomorrow to actually modify or revoke that permit and undo this injustice that's been done to our city.
Steve, do you and your colleagues have a game plan here? Are you willing to accept Walmart with stipulations and concessions?
No.
Or do you want this deal canceled altogether?
We want it canceled altogether. What we want is what Tellen and Keshen and the Planning Commission agreed upon back in October. That was a great plan. The Planning Commission was correct in the confidence they placed in Tellen and Keshen. They are one of the best retail developers in the country. They've demonstrated that through past developments and the things that they said they were going to do to that property that they never ended up doing. They just cut to the chase, gave it to Walmart, flipped the land, took their profit, and want to get out, and we're going to hold them accountable for that.
Yeah, and Walmart plays hardball. They have canceled plans to develop a store in Pajaro.
That was great news.
Yeah, but the reason was that they felt that the Marina site was more favorable to them.
Well, that's a big error on their part.
Mm-hmm. So then you might be able to do a double play here.
Yeah, that would be sweet. Of course, there's, you know, other places within our community that are in equal jeopardy of Walmart coming in, say in Sand City or Seaside or Soledad or Greenfield. And, you know, those communities will have to rise up and block them as well.
Mm-hmm. Steve, shall I give out the email address for Citizens Against Walmart in Marina?
Definitely.
It's CAWIM at earthlink.net.
That's correct.
CAWIM at earthlink.net. And the meeting is Thursday, tomorrow night at the Planning Commission, and it starts at?
At 6:30, 211 Hillcrest Avenue in the Marina City Council Chambers.
All right, Steve Zmack, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Peter.
Nice to talk with you again. And there's an activist, and I support what they're doing. I think that it's important to raise these issues. I think it's important to hold these local councils and planning commissions accountable. And what we see here from Steve's recitation of the facts is that there was a deal in place that would have provided for multiple tenants at this long-vacant former Kmart site. And then Walmart rolled into town, and everything changed. So if you have a comment about that, I'd like to hear from you. If you want to talk about any of the other issues we've discussed today, in particular to me, Topic A is not Karl Rove, but the tainted verdict returned in Sacramento yesterday in the case of Hamed Hayat. And we talked with his attorney in our second hour today. I believe that the government really, you know, rammed through a travesty of justice. And for this conviction to rest on the testimony of a paid informant whose comments were riddled with inconsistencies, he's the only person who saw the number two Al-Qaeda guy, Ayman al-Zawahiri, in Lodi, and he told that to the FBI. Apparently that was one of the reasons they hired him. But this is a case that is tainted, and I hope that it will be overturned on appeal. But I think that we need to be vigilant because our government is interested in finding and convicting people. And as we see, they're so desperate. You know, the Moussaoui jury is still out. And that means they're having a very hard time reaching a conclusion about the death penalty verdict that our government so clearly wants. And when you look at the tactics in those two cases, they're fundamentally un-American. They're an insult to the vision of our criminal justice system. And if they stand, they send a signal to the rest of the world that undermines our claim of being a nation of laws, a nation committed to justice and fairness for all, and a nation of freedom and liberty. So I'd like to hear your comments. We're going to take a break and return for your calls. So get on the line now at 831-899-5792 or toll free at 1-888-579-2540. And just before we go to the break, I couldn't help but slip in a little more from the new Capital Steps CD.
You're watching the new conservative Republican-run PBS, now known as GOP-BS. Barney will not be seen today, since we all know that dinosaurs never existed and are simply the product of liberal atheists looking to discredit creationism. Later tonight, join us for an all-new edition of Master Race Theater. Along with a groundbreaking new biographical series, Joe McCarthy, American Patriot. And our latest version of Scientific American, where we demonstrate how trees are the underlying cause of all forest fires. Oh, and for those of you who want to know what your values are worth, it's Antique Ideology Roadshow. But now, stay tuned for our new educational programming.
Because of the current administration's clean air policy, which fosters sound environmental principles without overregulating important industry concerns. Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street? Hello, everyone, and welcome to the all-new Sesame Street. Let's get right to the fun with our very special guest, Miss Ann Coulter. Yeah!
where I've got to exit. Sorry. When Ann Coulter enters, Peter B., exit stage right. I want to hear from you. Free Speech Zone, 831-899-5792 or toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Salt means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testifies by him before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can live.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You got to catapult the propaganda.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Do you care about issues affecting the working men and women of our community? Healthcare, immigration, the warmerization of our economy, social justice issues in general.
If you care, there's a show for you. It's called Labor Matters, hosted by Jose Mendez and myself, Ren Bradley. Please join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon.
Don't give up the fight.
KRXA 540 with a look at your traffic. 547, here's Metro Diane.
We're going to start in Capitola, northbound 1 at Park Avenue. We have a two-vehicle accident there, and there's also reports of a second accident in the area there, so CHP en route to check that out. Also on northbound 1 at Rio Del Mar Boulevard in Rio Del Mar, an accident in the center divide there. Vehicle actually struck an animal, so they're both in the center divide. In Ben Lomond, Empire Grade Road at Alba Road, an injury accident there. A motorcycle had been in the lanes. It's now been moved over to the shoulder, and the injury part has been taken to the hospital. Checking the Santa Cruz Mounds, both directions of Highway 17, stall and accident-free. This report is brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Hurry to Mattress Discounters today, and on approved credit, make no down payment, no monthly payment, and pay no interest for 12 months. Mattress Discounters, quality brands, discount prices every day. I'm dying with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the home stretch here. Free speech is available to you. 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. If you don't call me, I'll call Elvis. Calling all activists, as you heard about an hour ago, our pal Shelley Pingree, president of Common Cause USA, is going to be a guest featured on The Daily Show on Comedy Central tonight. And, of course, she has no idea exactly how the report will turn out, but it's always fun to see. So I hope you will catch that on your favorite Comedy Central channel tonight on cable TV. Jake in Arcata, thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter, how's it going?
Pretty good.
I would just like to commend a couple of your usual guests. Of course, Larissa from RawStory.com and Jason Leopold from TruthOut.org. They're doing some great work on this Karl Rove story. And, you know, you see the so-called mainstream media, these so-called journalists. Let's face it, they're really glorified stenographers on the networks. They stopped doing real journalism around the time of the O.J. Simpson Bronco chase.
That was a watershed moment, and it has been downhill since then.
Yeah, straight downhill. And but we do have good journalists out there, and you're getting them on the show, and I really appreciate that, Peter.
Well,
and
my, I just like my to, pleasure.
Thank you, Peter. I just like to add, I did see the NBC Evening News tonight, and they actually flashed up on the screen that Karl Rove was not a target of the investigation. But according to Jason Leopold, Mr. Rove's attorney, Mr. Luskin, said that Mr. Rove is still a subject of the investigation as of a few days ago.
Right.
So, you know, clearly Mr. Fitzgerald, the special prosecutor, impaneled a new jury for a reason. He has presented new evidence on Rove, and they're going to go forward. And it seems interesting because you have Louis Libby, who's already been indicted, Karl Rove, who is about to be indicted, and you have Libby pointing the finger at Bush, saying he's the leaker. You have Rove pointing the finger at Cheney, saying he's the leaker. You know, they may both go down on this one.
Well, I think you're right, and I'm pulling up right now. There is an article posted today at truthout.org. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, by Jason Leopold. And he does say specifically, the opening paragraph, Karl Rove's appearance before a grand jury in the CIA leak case today, Wednesday, comes on the heels of a target letter sent to his attorney recently by Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald, signaling that the Deputy White House Chief of Staff may face imminent indictment, sources that are knowledgeable about the probe said on Wednesday. And as Larissa pointed out, Leopold has been on this story, has great sources, and so far, to my knowledge, has not gotten anything wrong. Well, I take that back. He made a minor error in counting the number of days that the White House knew the Niger uranium story was false before it was included in the State of the Union message, an error that he quickly corrected. But to the central points of the Rove investigation, Leopold has not been wrong. Now, I will point out that in a story published a few hours later, the Washington Post explicitly says that Rove is not a quote-unquote target of the investigation.
How can they even do this and look themselves in the mirror, these so-called mainstream journalists? I mean, why has Karl Rove been called back five times to testify in front of at least two different grand juries? Obviously, he's a target of the investigation. Really, they must think the American people are flat-out stupid, Peter. And I don't think the American people, at least most of them, are that dumb. And this little lie they've concocted around this entire war in Iraq, it's unraveled. And everybody can see it for what it is except a few hardline conservatives. Everybody else in the country, Democrats, independents, moderate Republicans, we're all against this war. We're against Bush and Cheney. They're liars, and they need to be impeached.
Well, I wish, though, that our Democratic leaders would take more definitive positions, because the way you summed it up there was explicitly correct. But you don't hear comments that are that sharp from our elected officials.
Yeah, unfortunately you don't.
Too many of the Democrats. I mean, if so, they would all be backing the Russ Feingold censure measure.
Yeah, I can't believe there's one single Democrat out there, you know, other than maybe Ben Nelson and Joe Lieberman, who are really closet Republicans, who would not support Russ Feingold's censure. Clearly, the Bush administration has provided no legal justification whatsoever for their illegal spying program. At the very least, they should be censured for it.
Hey, Jake, two program notes, particularly for you. Tomorrow, Assemblywoman Patty Berg will be on 4 o'clock Pacific time. That's in our second hour. We've been trying to get your assembly person on for quite some time, so she'll make her debut here tomorrow. And also, you suggested to me Dr. Robert Bowman, who is a critic of the 9/11 story. He's the one who's gone furthest to date in claiming that it was an inside job and the administration knew or should have known. And he's going to be on with us for half an hour on Friday at 4:30 Pacific time.
Fantastic, Peter. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks for your input, Jake. Always appreciate it.
Hey, take care.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon. That leaves a line open for you, 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. And I want to mention something here, because on this program we do choose the topics that we talk about, and we have to make difficult choices at times. And so we don't have the luxury of being able to talk about every issue in the world that matters. We try to choose the topics that we think are undercovered in other media and things that we think our listeners, based on our connection to you, will be interested in and feel are important. And so if you care to call in the next few minutes, you can just give me a quick response about whether you think it's worth, on this program, talking about the recent increase in the price of gasoline at the pump. It's painful. And every one of us who has seen a fill-up go from 25 to almost 50 bucks now feels that pain. But one of the reasons that I haven't brought it up for deliberation, dialogue, and conversation here is that I don't think that our elected leaders are going to do a damn thing about it. And there are a couple of reasons. One is that in all the discussions I've heard over the last few days, the president's comments, Democratic comments, media comments, no one has linked the increase in the cost of crude to our misguided war in Iraq. And the world crude market does respond to crisis. And what we are paying is a crisis premium for the instability of the oil supply. And it's also not insignificant that Iraq's contribution to the world oil supply has been diminished to almost zip in the last 3 years. And so I believe that there are factors caused by our government which have led to this spike in the cost of gasoline for every American consumer. And I don't think Bush is honest or sincere in any way when he says he's going to fight price gouging. These are his buddies. These are his base. The haves and the have-mores are earning these obscene profits from oil. And here's another angle that I think indicates why American consumers are so powerless. And in my view, the discussion about oil and gasoline price hikes is just kind of pointless. And that is, we know what the price of crude oil on the spot market is at any given time. It's moved up from about $29 a barrel 2 or 3 years ago to hovering in the $65 to $70 range per barrel today. And you think, well, gosh, if the price of crude goes up, inevitably the cost at the pump has to go up proportionally. But there's a game involved. The oil companies that supply products to the United States, to our gasoline stations, own large reserves of oil in this country and in other parts of the world. And when the spot oil price goes up to $60 or $70 a barrel, they're sitting on a lot of oil that they may have pumped from Texas or Oklahoma or California that they were waiting for the price to reach $35, $40, $45 before they pumped it. That's what their cost is. Well, a $45 barrel of oil looks really good when the market price is pegged at $65 or $70. And so the windfall profits that are being reported this week by the oil companies, in my view, are at least in part due to the way they game the market. And they use the price of crude on the world spot market to jack up the price of the crude oil that they own or that's in the ground that they can pump out for far less. And until somebody takes on those issues and really holds the oil companies accountable, I don't think there's much worth talking about. And with one-party rule in Washington, D.C., it's not going to happen anytime soon. Trigger? A bag of oats is still a lot cheaper than a gallon of gas. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Happy trails.
We'll do this again tomorrow, same time, same station. I hope you'll join me then. Meantime, visit peterbcollins.com.
Again, happy trails.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped us have.
I only concur, and the problem is we've adopted that agenda at the high levels of our government, and so
I believe
Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mabrini. So what did you pay to fill her up?
$3.20 a gallon. I'm like, God, this is ridiculous.
Wait till you hear what the big oil companies made selling that gas. Today, ConocoPhillips said its first quarter profits were up 13%. That's nearly $400 million more in their pockets in just the first 3 months of the year. And there's going to be more.
Tomorrow, ExxonMobil is projected to announce more than $9 billion in profits for the first quarter alone. On Friday, Chevron is expected to announce close to $4 billion in profits. The oil industry makes no apologies. For some perspective on how big is big, ExxonMobil could make a record $41 billion in profit by the end of this year. That's enough money to give every American man, woman, and child a check for $137.
That's CBS's Byron Pitts. But over at the American Petroleum Institute, Rayola Dewar says they're not the ones jacking up the price.
The price we're seeing is being driven by a rapid growth in demand and a supply that's really struggling to keep pace with that growth.
Whatever the case, all that profit has senators like Iowa's Chuck Grassley wondering if those oil companies are paying enough in tax. Now they're asking to see their books.
The reason for asking for it is, quite frankly, $3 gas at a time when there seems to be an oversupply of crude oil, and we want to know what's up.
3 days in a jury room, 12 men and women, one question. Should Zacharias Moussaoui live or die? They haven't been able to answer it yet.
Even though the verdict form is long and complicated, I think we've now reached the point where the longer the jury is out, the more concerned prosecutors will become. This is a confessed al-Qaeda conspirator, remember, who essentially dared the jury to recommend a death sentence. And yet, 16 hours or more into deliberations, it still hasn't come.
That's CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen in Alexandria, Virginia. Across the Potomac in D.C., it was the hot seat for a White House heavy hitter.
It's Karl Rove's fifth grand jury appearance, his first time in front of the panel since last October. There's no indication that Rove faces imminent indictment in the case. It centers on the outing of CIA operative Valerie Plame, not long after her husband, Joseph Wilson, criticized the administration's Iraq war policy.
CBS's Peter Mayer in Washington. In Houston, a big day at the Enron trial. Former CEO Ken Lay took the stand and swore